my father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
St. Louis, this is Sir Sax inviting you to a show called the Gospel Skate Party every Friday night at 10 p.m. It's a program in which I bring you the best in Christian rap, righteous R&G, a taste of that holy hip-hop, etc., etc. It's heard right here on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. Don't forget, the Gospel Skate Party every Friday at 10 p.m. Get your skates on and skate with Sir Sax.
Herbal days are beginning at the Missouri Botanical Garden. This plant sale offers a wide variety of herbs for gardens and kitchens at the Orthwine Floral Display Hall. It takes place from Wednesday, April 18th through Saturday the 21st from 9 to 5 each day. Cost is included with garden admission or membership. Find out more by calling 314-577-9400, toll-free at 1-800-642-8842, or visiting stlewisherbsociety.com or mobot.org. News to you from WGNU.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
When you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join PUSH. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote.
Attorney General, you've sworn an oath today, and that oath carries with it certain legal consequences. But you have a duty to the American people as a public servant to tell the truth when you speak to the public in a press conference, a news interview, or by publishing an op-ed piece in the newspaper, don't you?
Senator, I believe that when I speak to the American people and to the public that I should be truthful, and I endeavor to be truthful.
Let me then go back to the subject that Senator Cole brought up that's of particular interest to us in Wisconsin on the question the case of Georgia Thompson. This was the highly publicized public corruption case which got a lot of attention in Wisconsin during much of 2006, especially since it happened during the reelection campaign of the governor of Wisconsin. On April 5th, right after oral argument in the case, the Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit ordered Ms. Thompson be immediately released from prison and her conviction was summarily reversed. I thought the report was wrong because it's so unusual for an appeals court to simply release somebody at that level. The appellate judges suggested that the evidence in the case was extremely weak and said essentially that the case should have never been brought. Can you understand why many citizens of my state, as they see this U.S. attorney scandal widen, are now questioning whether the U.S. attorney in Milwaukee could have possibly brought the Thompson case for political reasons?
Senator, I don't look at the facts here. Again, this was a career prosecutor. The charging decision was made in consultation with a then Democratic state attorney general and a Democratic local prosecutor. When you allege, or anyone alleges, I'm sorry, when anyone alleges, and in fact there may have been politics involved in this case, what does that say to that attorney general, to that local prosecutor, to the career investigators?
Well, let me interrupt you. This time is so limited. I didn't ask you, and I'm not alleging that there were political considerations here. I'm asking, can't you see how this U.S. attorney scandal, a problem that has occurred throughout the Justice Department, leads to a situation where people wonder if there are political situations? Considerations.
Senator, I can't speak to what may be in the minds of the people in your state. Again, I'm doing everything
I can. Yes, I can, and I can tell you this overall problem here has led to some, you know, very unfortunate thoughts about the situation that may or may not be justified. Just trying to highlight what a problem this whole scandal has created.
Senator,
we plan to have the Department's Office of Professional Responsibility review the Georgia Thompson case.
Sir, am I?
Yeah. Are you planning to have the Department's Office of Professional Responsibility review this case that I just...
Senator, I don't recall whether there's been action on that, but I'd be happy to consider that.
I hope you will, because I think it's very important for the reason I just gave you. I also understand from press reports that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Milwaukee has provided documents to the Justice Department that are responsive to the letter that Senator Cole and I sent along with Chairman Leahy and other members of the committee last week on this incident. When can we expect a response to our letter and the production of the documents we asked for?
Senator, it's a recent request. I'm told that we're talking about a voluminous amount of records. We're in discussions with, I understand, committee staff and trying to do what we can to get documents up as quickly as we can.
I hope it'll be soon. Now, let me ask you about something that's been a major part of the question, Senator Spector, Senator Kennedy, Senator Feinstein, and others. And these are factual questions. I hope they can be quick answers. Kyle Sampson has testified that he kept you generally informed about the process of identifying U.S. attorneys who might be asked to step down. Did you ever ask him for specific information about who he was speaking to in connection with this process or what he was doing to follow up and check out the information he received?
Senator, what I recall is telling Mr. Sampson, make sure the White House is appropriately advised because these are political appointees. And telling him that I expected him to consult with the senior leadership of the department, people who would knew best, who would know best, the qualifications, the performance of United States attorneys.
This is what you told him to do, but I'm asking whether you checked back with him after he did it.
Senator, I can't recall whether or not at the time he made the recommendations that I said, who did you consult with? And whose recommendations are these? I'll tell you what I understood. What I understood.
Well, let me continue. That's a sufficient answer. You said you don't recall having done that. Did you at any time probe the information that Kyle Sampson provided to you, including the recommendations that he ultimately made and the seven U.S. attorneys to be fired?
Sir, I don't recall having specific questions.
Ding,
or,
ding, 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 ding. 71 times Alberto Gonzalez said, I don't recall. And unfortunately, I think I said 70 times he was going to say, I don't recall. One of you also said 70 times he's going to say, I don't recall. 71 times Alberto Gonzalez said, I don't recall. He says he doesn't even remember the meeting where he made the decision of who's going to lose their jobs. I don't recall. I mean, I remember the meeting, but I don't recall what happened at the meeting. Oh, you a lie and the truth ain't in ya. You a lie and the truth ain't in ya. Ain't that some stuff, y'all? 71 times Alberto Gonzalez said, oh, did I mention that he is the Attorney General of the United States? 71 times he said, I don't recall. 71 times. Oh, did I tell you my name? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And welcome to the world of George Bush. And did I mention the statement that came out of the White House after Alberto Gonzalez said, I don't recall 71 times. What did Boy George have to say about his testimony? I am pleased with the testimony of Alberto Gonzalez. Pleased. Pleased. Well, I guess the heck you are. He said, I don't recall. He just lied and lied and lied and lied and lied and lied. I can't say 71 times, but 71 times he lied and 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 lied. He said, I don't recall 71 times. 71 times. Let me say that one more time. 71 times. And every time he said, I don't recall, Boy George says, that's my boy. I'm pleased with that. You stick to your guns. You stick to your guns. You stick to your guns. 71 times, Alberto Gonzalez said. Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. 71 times.
First of all, I want to congratulate you for being so on point. You almost built it perfectly, didn't you? Okay, what I want to say is this on a more serious note. You know, if the president and his, you know, buddies can get away with this, what kind of message does this send to the rest of the American people for us on crime? You know, when you can do what you want to do and then say, I don't remember. I don't know. You know, I mean, in the wake of the Virginia shootings and everything, you know, how, oh, we're so saddened about what the violence is going on. I mean, look how the president of the United States and attorney general, the chief of law enforcement are conducting themselves. No, it's a shame.
It's a revelation as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and it's pathetic. And one more thing, you also was right on that. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back on this one, too. You were also right when you said a couple of days ago about watch how they vilify this guy and go into all these Asian gangs on the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I watched this morning. Now, tonight, they're supposed to have a Soledad, I think it was Soledad O'Brien or somebody else supposed to do a special on how the Korean, it was some Korean ministers or something, how they're going to deal with their own. I mean, it is pathetic.
Well, it's not over yet. There's going to be a grieving piece. There's going to be some time. I've started to see some attempts by folks to tie him to terrorism. No. Oh, it's cool. They ain't done.
No,
they ain't done. They ain't done at all.
No, they're not done. And the last thing I want to say, is, first of all, let me put this out here. I don't condone what happened to those children or the families when the kids lost their lives and the families. I mean, I don't condone what will happen. I mean, and I'm very sorry, you know, what that happened. But one thing, the media coverage of this is basically 9/11-ish, you know, and like Timothy McVeigh is, you know what I'm saying? It's too much. It's more, it's just overblown. And it's, you can go on the internet and find more things that can be covered, that's worthy of covering, you know, the worthy of covering than this much coverage. You know, because America has its hands in a lot of things in other countries that they're doing on a daily basis. That outweighs what happened in Virginia. And I'm just saying that, you know, I think America and the media should focus more on what goes on around the world than just this incident.
Thanks. It's obsession with violence. It's an obsession with violence. That is that thing we call America. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. We have much to talk about. 71 times. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 from Imperial Main through Richardson Road. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked at Richardson Road, and crews are working on in the left shoulder, so expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays in the left lane. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for no problems report. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got some slowdowns going on at the top of that ramp, but everything's looking good at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into K. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 just east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road. You can expect no delays this hour. Northbound 270 at 44. You're getting some slowdowns at that exchange. Northbound 270 and on the 70 ramps. Look for slowdowns in the right exit lanes there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44 is on the move. Westbound 44 right at Meraz Overpass all the way into the Merrimack River Bridge and passed, and 270 is on the move there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high around 70 this evening, mostly clear, low around 50 for Saturday, mostly sunny again, high in the upper 70s Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s, and then on Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting 47 and cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and your weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Praise the Lord, church family. It's me, Pastor E to the J to the D. Yours truly, doing my duty, live in the loop on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. And we just praising him a while. Check it out, church family. We got a brand new broadcast coming at you. It's the Friday Night Radio Broadcast Fellowship Hour. Every Friday night, 8 to 9 p.m. on your W, my W, IWGNU.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with your radio pastor, Pastor Charles Hilton, every Saturday, 5:30 p.m. on WGNU 920 AM dial. We will be playing some of St. Louis and East St. Louis' finest gospel artists, as well as keeping you informed with current gospel events. That's every Saturday, 5:30 on WGNU 920, your AM dial. And always remember just how good God is.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Quit it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I agree 100% with what you were saying about how this boy is going to be vilified because, you know, you notice whenever, well, Timothy McVeigh, he was a true patriot, remember? He was a patriot who was just disillusioned. Whenever there's a person of color involved in some, well, I can't say whenever because peoples of color have no history of being mass murderers in this country. So I would have to correct that. But even when it's something on a one-on-one basis, the only answer is that they were just berserk, they were animals, they're always vilified. So I'm expecting to see more and more of that come out as time goes by, and I'm expecting to see them just hound his family even. But also with Gonzalez, is there any way that he could be found in contempt of Congress? Because the boys obviously lie. And it was contemptuous to me just watching this crap. And to see them let him get away with this. It's nothing but a show and a sham. Now, you know what's going to happen. He'll eventually end up probably stepping down in a few days.
I don't know.
Well, I think what'll probably happen is, okay, he's going through this little show right now, and then as a payoff later on, he'll pop up someplace else. I mean, remember, this is a young guy. There's a lot of tread left on that tire. I mean, look how many times Rumsfeld and Cheney have popped up over the years.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that he won't get another job after this. Of course he'll get another job after this. The issue is, for me, is whether or not he's going to step down or not. And I'm not convinced that he is going to step down.
I'm not thinking he's going to do it right away, but I think he will. I think he will. But, you know, since he is so absent-minded, maybe they ought to subpoena his medical records. I mean, he could be suffering from senile dementia.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Who won the sweepstakes, young lady?
I think I have a name. I have a name.
It's amazing. It's a rational, realistic, focused society around the world somewhere should be looking at America real close, laughing at us. We are the lioness, thievenness, forgetfulness. I think they got a job for Gonzalez. He could be the cell queen in a local prison, no different than that ticket gate stuff. Now, I wonder if I would have got caught scalping tickets or... Now, I don't believe they gave them tickets away. They probably sold them tickets to their family members and all.
I don't think so. I think that people, and remember, these are World Series tickets. I believe people in high places got those tickets.
Well, I did see Jennifer Joyce down there enjoying a free hot dog, too, at that particular game.
Wow,
but getting back to Gonzalez for a second now. You know, it's so surreal, and it's almost a for real reality television to see this joke, to see this happen, and our noodle back Congress on both sides of the fence, especially Democrats, where they got an opportunity to really bash them because it's a tit for tat. They did this to Clinton, so now we need to do something for them. But you got to remember, they did Clinton his way only because, you know, because what we did to Nixon. So that was their first opportunity to get us back, though, get the Democrats back. I ain't gonna say us. But now we're letting this Republican administration run ramshot with everything, and nobody is saying nothing, including the press. So that's why you don't work for one of the major press, because you they don't want to hear it from us. They don't want to hear the truth. So
thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on a wake-up call.
Hey, morning, Liz. You know, I also wanted to talk about Gonzalez, but I haven't been paying attention to this World Series thing, but do you know what percentage of the tickets were stolen?
Percentage of the tickets?
Yeah.
I know that there were 30 tickets that were stolen.
Oh, so, it's only a couple of $1,000. The reason I ask, I remember when the Olympics, I've been keeping track of how crooked the Olympics is for decades now, and the ones that were in Sydney, Australia, I think they had made the deal with the city that they were going to make the stadium was going to be the locals in town had first rights to tickets. And so they had so much conning going on with those tickets that it came to like 80% of the tickets were stolen before they got out of the governmental office.
Well, these were tickets, David, that cops went up to people and said, oh, you're scalping these tickets.
Right, yeah.
They took the tickets from them. They took them to the evidence locker. Then they went back to the evidence locker, got the tickets out, and gave the tickets to people unknown. And we have the mayor and the chief of police and the prosecuting attorney saying no crime was committed.
I wonder if they have some photographs of who was sitting in the seat that day.
Well, that's how this whole story came to light, that some people that weren't scalping tickets went to sit in their seats and they saw somebody else sitting in the seats where the cops took the tickets from them.
Right. And
so that's
they got
how
them identified? Or?
No, it is unclear. It is unclear whether they're identified because Jennifer Joyce is done with her investigation.
Huh. Well, you know, that's kind of one of those things out here in San Francisco. You know, we got this journalist that was out here that day, and he took a video of a demonstration out here, and the cops wanted to see it because with a taillight on a cop had gotten a cop car had gotten broken, and a cop got hit. And so his video footage, he put it online as a journalist, and they kept him in prison for almost 3 months. But it was essentially, you know, there are various kinds of journalism nowadays. You can put stuff on your blog and put stuff on online news services and different things. YouTube is almost considered journalism in its own way now. They certainly have a journalistic session. So you'd think that there'd be photographs of that day of people sitting in this.
Oh, there are. I know that there are, but if you don't have a prosecutor that is trying to pursue it, I'm not saying it's not, you can't figure it out. She's saying she can't figure it out. And she's also saying that their confessions cannot be used because they were said in the context of an internal affairs investigation. So even though they confess, she's saying that I can't go forward with this case.
Whoa, I wonder, that gets kind of suspicious, especially when it was something.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, like tickets. I mean, are they going to get future tickets for keeping their mouths shut? It's kind of, hey, you know, it comes to really what I wanted to talk about with Gonzalez. He shows up there, and I'm trying to think of who it was that was asking him. I think it was Hatch of Utah, and he's asking him, Hatch is a Republican all the way. He's as crooked as you can get. He's been with these guys. He's been there for 30 years. And the guy asks him this real softball question, well, you get to hang out at the White House, don't you? And he says, oh, sure, you know. And then he says, and you get to get in all those meetings with the president. And he says, oh, yeah, he invites me around once in a while. And it's like, once in a while? Wait a minute. You're the attorney general. If Bush is trying to cut corners on the Bill of Rights in every possible way, he's trying to, you know, have torture, and he's trying to have murder. He's trying to take away he just like God, he can lift away your sins. You know, no prosecutions for murder, no prosecutions for Halliburton, no prosecution. So just like God, Bush gets to absolve their sins, right? And in fact, he gives them contracts ahead of time saying that whatever they do in the future is not going to be a crime. you know, and that's the whole thing of the, what is it, Martin Luther broke free from the church for doing indulgences. And then, you know, and I mentioned this the other day, you've had Greg Palast on your show, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and how Greg Palast was talking about the company, the Choice Point, that studies the people who have the right to vote, and they're like Santa Claus, and they're trying to make sure that you can't vote, apparently, because they're going out of their way to be extra stringent and taking people off the voting list. This is what Greg Palast's been talking about for decades now. And so this whole Choice Point company is essentially marketing in our soul. You know, they're this private company that gets to market in our souls to tell us whether or not we're good enough citizens to be able to vote. So that's not taxation with representation. Hey, I hear your music.
All right, thanks, David. All right, take care, David. 1-877-920-WGMU. Stay with me. For all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
All kinds of opinions on Jesus' life are showing up in films, books, and TV. Have you sorted through the various views and claims? Do you still have questions? Hear guests share their perspectives and talk about a spiritual view of Christ Jesus and what his life means to them on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
I have an asthma attack. I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Alberto Gonzalez saying he can't recall really reminds me a lot of Ronald Reagan.
He said it 71 times.
You know, and, but, you know, I got to hand my kudos to the caller who called earlier talking about how so much news coverage is being buried underneath this school massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, did you know the Halliburton is pulling out of Iran?
You mean out of Iraq?
No, it's pulling out of Iran.
Iran.
Oh. Iran. Now, which leads me to the logical question. Now, how long has it been illegal to be dealing in Iran?
That's a question.
Isn't that treason?
Supposed to be.
Isn't that what Alberto Gonzalez should be investigating and bringing charges over?
No, shouldn't they?
What are Dick Cheney's ties with Halliburton right now?
Uh-huh.
Makes him a traitor, doesn't it?
Well.
You know, these people need to be driven out of office.
Fact and fact.
I thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Steve. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Bob.
Good morning, fabulous Liz Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
How you feel? You had your coffee this morning?
I have.
All right. I'm having mine now. Liz, you know what? If I tell you that, Liz, I tell you what, you're a good baseball player, I'm going to pay you, let's say, $100 million. That's what I'm going to pay you individually to come play for me. But, Liz, if I do that to you, you better hit a home run at least every time you're up the bat, not let they walk you. Okay? God don't like ugliness. Now, they got this guy out of Pujols who they're paying that much money to. The guy only hit a couple home runs. He's missing balls that's tossed to him. I mean, Cardinals are upset because now the team that they're paying all this money for, who they want the ballpark villa, is losing. God don't like ugliness. And Francis Lee is so mad. I thought about something yesterday. He got on TV, Liz, and says, I tell you who I think is the best candidate. I think it's going to be Hillary Clinton. What do you think about that, Liz?
I think it shows that, I don't know, Dick Gephardt runs this town. That's what I think it shows. I think that Dick Gephardt's people run this town. I'm not surprised that he's supporting Hillary Clinton. Not at all.
Well, you know it wouldn't be Barack, right?
Oh, no, it wouldn't be Barack. No, and it wouldn't be John Edwards. It's gonna be Hillary Clinton. It's gonna be Hillary Clinton.
Well. Now this guy, I watched that Gonzalez this morning. The Republicans was getting on him harder than the Democrats.
Well, yes, they were. Yes, they were. Because he's theirs, you know, and I guess the thought process was, let them go get him. Cause then okay. He represents them. So let them go get him. I mean, let them go get him.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. When you were calling for your poll, I think I heard a lady say, oh, Liz, about 70 times.
That's right.
Now, she's
that's
too
right.
far off.
That's right.
Yeah, I said she's too far. I said Liz is about right, a little under. But she, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was just playing with it, but she got it.
Yep, 71.
Have a good weekend.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning. The only thing I want to find out is how did they find out about the cops receiving those tickets?
You mean stealing those tickets?
Yeah, stealing those tickets. How did they find out?
Found out that because some citizens whose tickets were taken from them
went to
other tickets.
Oh.
And they went to the game and they saw somebody else sitting in their seats.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if the tickets were taken legitimately by the police and put in an evidence locker, what was somebody doing sitting in those seats? And in a World Series game, you know nobody got through the gate without a ticket.
Right.
So they had the ticket for those seats. How did they get them?
Right.
I guess.
I understand that. I just wanted to know who turned them in. Did the good cops turn them in or what?
There are a lot of angry cops out there. There are a lot of angry good cops out
yeah.
there at all of these thieving, lying cops. That's why they took this. That's why they took the comments down off of Cop Talk.
Right. Okay, there. Thank you.
Uh huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. I mean, I think that is really one of the big stories about this. That Cop Talk took the conversation down. Cop Talks won't let cops talk. Ain't that some stuff? 454 0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, can you elaborate, or did you hear about the state of Missouri that's supposed to be apologizing for slavery? Did you hear that?
I heard that there was a bill introduced by a legislator that has carried the water for the Republican Party and their issues. Talib El Amin has been a true disappointment since he's been up in Jefferson City. Talib El Amin, who has not had a single meeting with his constituents since he's been up in Jefferson City. They were sworn in January. It is now the end of April, almost May. He has not, and he's never been a legislator before. He has not had one single meeting with his constituents. That's one. So you got to ask the question of, and this is a guy, Talib El Amin has also introduced bills with Jeff Smith to kill public school education here in the city of St. Louis, okay?
Okay.
So you have to ask yourself the question, why would Talib El Amin, who has done nothing for his constituents, no meetings for his constituents since he's been in office, why would he introduce such a bill? And you know what my theory is?
What?
My theory is that so when people like me and other people come to Talib El Amin and say, well, look at all this legislation that's contrary to our community that you've been supporting, he's going to hold up this piece of legislation. Well, I introduced a bill to apologize for enslavement. So what? You're supposed to be doing your job up there. I believe it is a PR piece. I believe that it is an empty gesture, and I believe that it is an effort to provide cover for him for whenever people challenge the fact that the legislation that he's supporting up there is contrary to the interest of the people that he wants an apology given to. That's
okay.
What I think.
Okay, well, like, did you hear the piece? They were talking about the word atonement.
Yep.
And
He took it out.
Atonement. They were talking about reparations with that.
He took it out. Talib took it out.
Oh, okay.
He took it out because the Republicans wouldn't vote for it with atonement, and so Talib took it out.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, fine.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
My name is Chevy Johnson. I've been arrested by one of those cops.
Which one?
Name is, you know what, I probably should not even say his name.
Well, wait a minute. We need to know, is it Sergeant Philip Menendez?
Nah,
is it Officer Philip Edmond? Is it Michael Ennis? Thomas Kitchell? Wendell Ishman? Thomas Krantz? Stephen Schwerb? Joseph Smoggy? Chavez?
I just can't say you're on the air, Ms. Brown. But
what you mean you can't say on the air?
I mean, you know, they know me. I'll just go from there. I'll just put it like that. Like a fool, give my real name. So.
Okay, well, then I'm just going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. And you can call back at another time with a different name, okay? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We're going to be talking about these shootings and the violence in this country in the next hour. We're going to be talking about that. And here's something for you, because I'm always trying to plan your weekend. This weekend, you know how WashU has their carnival every year. This year they're having it, as always. But the proceeds this year are going to go to George Washington Carver House. So how cool is that? The people that we partner with to do the blanket drive. So you might want to get on over there this weekend, because you know your money is going to a wonderful place. That's this weekend over there at WashU with the carnival. We're going to be talking about that in the 8 o'clock hour. We have much to talk about, folks. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Let the healing begin. The governor of Virginia is asking today be a national day of mourning in honor of the Virginia Tech shooting victims. He's asking church bells ring at noon and that you pause for a moment. ABC's Aaron Katursky says the school is doing its best to try and put the tragedy behind it.
An exhausted Virginia Tech spokesman, Larry Hinker, told reporters here, "We have got to move forward.
We cannot let this horror define Virginia Tech. We're going to do whatever we can to try to get this place on its feet again."
Classes are supposed to start again on Monday. For now, many students have cleared out, and campus feels empty. The school will let students opt out of the rest of the semester. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Blacksburg, Virginia.
This war is lost.
Some very frank words from Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who says the president's troop surge in Iraq is not working, and he says the president and Defense Secretary Gates know it. House Republican Conference Chairman Adam Putnam says it's too bad that Reid feels that way.
It is a very disturbing development when the political leadership in this country is literally pulling the rug out from underneath our troops.
Gates is in Iraq, where he told the government in Baghdad the clock is ticking on Iraq to assume its own security. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez may not have done much to convince members of the Senate Judiciary Committee that the firings of eight federal prosecutors was fair and just, and that includes fellow members of the GOP.
I do not intend to call for his resignation. I intend to communicate with the president. It's my view that the issue of whether he stays or goes belongs to the president as the appointing power and to the attorney general.
That's Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter. Columbine High School is closed today, as it has been every April 20th since the shooting back in 1999. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
So, Notice anything different?
You cut your hair?
No.
Lost weight?
Watch it.
Okay, I give.
I painted the room.
Oh, what color was it?
Forget it.
Want to make a real difference with paint? The Home Depot knows how. We have all the latest colors and the technology to help you coordinate. Plus, now through April 25th, get 25% off all Behr Premium Plus paints, stains, and waterproofers. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, what can I get you, sir?
I'll have a tall cappuccino with a touch of cinnamon and some peace of mind, please.
You got it.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, I'll have some confidence, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com.
A hate crime in a New England middle school cafeteria? Possibly. Here's ABC's Joan Bennett.
Renewed tensions between natives of the central Maine town of Lewiston and newcomers, the Somali immigrant community. A middle school student has been suspended after allegedly putting a ham steak in a bag on a school lunch table where a group of Somali students were eating. Not the first such incident, which authorities say was clearly designed to offend Somalis who are Muslims and consider pork unclean. Last summer, a local man rolled a pig's head into a mosque in Lewiston, the latest incident being treated as a possible hate crime. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
A Tennessee teenager says he's learned his lesson about drugs. His father made him stand outside his middle school wearing a sign that said, "I abused and sold drugs." Dad found out about his son's use by reading his MySpace page, and he says the nation's extreme drug problem calls for parents to take extreme measures. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, police are looking for two men in connection with a robbery at Westfield Chesterfield Mall. Police say that one of the men stole a woman's purse around 3:30 Saturday afternoon. Not long after the robbery, the man was captured on an ATM security camera using the victim's credit card. The man fled the scene with another man in a dark blue four-door sedan with Missouri license plates. The man is described as being 18 to 25 years old and about 6 feet tall, weighing between 160 and 180 pounds. Anyone with any information is asked to call Chesterfield Police at 636-537-3000. A prayer vigil was held yesterday for a missing woman. 20-year-old Kelly Allen has been missing since March 13th. She attended a job interview in West St. Louis County and was supposed to catch a bus to a friend's house in Berkeley, but she never made it. Kelly is described as African American, 5 feet 4 inches tall, and about 160 pounds. Police are calling the case suspicious, and they are not ruling out foul play. The girl's parents are offering a reward for information leading to the safe return of their daughter. Finally this hour, Cardinals third baseman Scott Rowland missed his second straight game yesterday. Rowland sat out both games against the Giants as he continues his recovery from food poisoning. Rowland started feeling ill on Tuesday night and was hospitalized for 3 hours on Wednesday afternoon. Scott Spezio started at third for the Redbirds in both games in San Francisco. Rowland says he feels well enough to return to the lineup for the weekend series in Chicago. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 between Imperial Main and Richardson Road. Look for that accident to have been cleared at Richardson Road. However, there's still residual stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, heavy volume there. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry. Look for a stall at Doherty Ferry, but you have some typical slowdowns at the 44 exchange there. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road, heavy volume going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is heavy from the Illinois Bank mid-span all the way into Laclede's Landing. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for heavy volume, especially in the right 5570 exit lanes. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and again from McCausland through Hampton, look for slowdowns there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Sunday. For today, look forward to sunny skies, high around 70 this evening, mostly clear, low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 50 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight from Memphis. say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
this? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Are we a nation that's defined by our the violence in our nation? I'm looking at this story that's coming out of Kennesaw, Georgia. This is a town that's north of Atlanta. Kennesaw, Georgia passed an ordinance in 1982 that required all heads of households to own a firearm and ammunition. You heard me. It requires every head of household to own a gun and ammunition. We just came out of here in the city of St. Louis. We just had a extraordinary NRA meeting. 60,000 people attended, the largest convention in the history of the city of St. Louis. Guns everywhere. And we had a defiant president of the NRA telling its the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that came out that we will not back down. The enemy are those that want to take our guns away. Do you know that the young man who killed all those babies in Virginia, he bought his gun legally, got his bullets at Walmart. We need to talk about this culture of violence that we have. We certainly do. And we're going to have that conversation with the Executive Director for Violence Policy Center, Jeff Sugarman. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to have that discussion when we come back. Stay with me.
Ooh. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Them that's got shall get. Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is new. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and we're going to talk about this Virginia Tech shooting. We're going to talk about it from the perspective of the reasons why this has taken place. And we're going to have this discussion with the executive director for the Violence Policy Center, joining us from Washington, D.C., Jeff Sugarman. Jeff, good morning.
Actually, it's Josh.
Josh. Okay, I'm sorry, Josh.
All right.
And Josh, let's talk for a second. People are looking for all kinds of reasons of why this happened. And you're saying that the obvious reason is the access to guns.
Right. I mean, when you look at mass shootings or gun violence in America, obviously gun violence is a symptom of much bigger problems, whether it's personal problems regarding mental health, anger, or more global problems of socioeconomic status, opportunity. The one facilitating instrument that turns that anger, whatever you want to call it, into violence is the unique role of guns, and it's usually a handgun. And the Virginia Tech shooting is unfortunately a stark illustration of a trend we've seen over the past 20 years in the gun industry, where to resell their dwindling market, they focused on lethality. And what that means is higher capacity, more bullets, and greater firepower and greater concealability. And that's what we saw this past week at Virginia Tech.
And we saw that how?
The gun that was used by Cho was a Glock 9mm, had a 15-round magazine. You can fire off the 15 rounds in a matter of seconds, easily reloaded. And what's happened is that back in the 1980s, the handgun that was sold in America most commonly was a six-shot revolver. Now the most common handgun in America is the high-capacity pistol. And really, the pistol trend was, if not a harbinger, sort of the first signal of where the industry was going. And that lethality trend has metastasized into assault weapons, 50 caliber sniper rifles, new ammunition types. And what we're seeing at Virginia Tech is we've got a free flow of guns in America. They're increasingly lethal. And unfortunately, these types of shootings have come to define our nation.
And this isn't the first. I mean, they're talking about this as the worst in our nation. But there have been some that have been very close. There have been a lot of these shootings, these types of incidents.
Well, one thing to recognize is that the Virginia Tech shooting, besides being a mass shooting, was a murder-suicide. And we did a study that found that there are, on average, 10 murder-suicides a week in the United States. Usually it's a husband killing his wife or his wife and children. But sometimes, like Virginia Tech, like the Columbine Massacre in 1999, it's a mass shooting where the shooter comes in, shoots his victims, and kills himself. But no, the past 20 years, going back, say, to the McDonald's Massacre in California, James Huberty used an Uzi to slaughter children at a McDonald's, through Columbine, through the Luby's Massacre. What we're finding is that the mass shootings like Virginia Tech are, if not uniquely American, most commonly American because of the access we allow our citizens to these types of firearms.
Do some comparisons with other countries, Josh, in terms of the access to firearms and the ownership of these types of firearms. Are there any comparisons out there?
Well, the comparisons are actually, unfortunately, very simple. Most Western industrialized nations do not allow their citizens the access to handguns that we allow. England has banned handguns. Canada has a very low handgun population because they put in effect a very strict licensing regimen early on that limited ownership. But across the board, France, I mean, really, any country you look at that is on a whatever economic peer with the U.S., you can't buy the types of guns you buy in this country. You can't buy assault weapons. You can't buy 50 caliber sniper rifles. Ironically, a lot of these countries ship their weapons over to the U.S., and we buy them here. For example, the Glock is shipped from Austria, the gun that was used in the Virginia Tech shooting.
They don't buy them there, but they ship them here.
Right, because we are the last great gun market in the world.
When did it change? What was there a law that made it happen? Has this been a gradual change? Is there a defining point?
Well, the defining point occurred, as I alluded to earlier, in the 1980s. And what happened was, in the 1970s, about half of American homes, 55% actually, had guns. And that number has been decreasing since the 70s. The most recent data that just came out last week, actually, shows that 34.5% of American homes have guns. So it's dropped almost 20 percentage points. So what the industry had to do was figure out a way to resell this dwindling market. And they could have embraced a variety of approaches. What they chose to focus on was increased lethality. And so what we're seeing now is, I mentioned earlier, you started with these high-capacity handguns, you moved to assault weapons, you moved to a whole range of paramilitary weaponry. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that right now in the U.S., if you have a credit card, you can basically arm your own army. You can buy semi-automatic assault weapons. You can buy grenade launchers. You can buy arm-piercing ammunition. You can buy the flak vests and the helmets. You can go out and do whatever you want.
How difficult was it for Chu to go in Virginia and buy his weapon?
It was not difficult at all. And he went out. He bought one gun reportedly over the Internet. It was shipped to a local dealer. He went through the background check under the Brady Law. The second gun he purchased from a dealer, background check under the Brady Law. It turned out over the past day that he should not have passed a background check, and that's because the record system that the Brady Law relies upon, which is the federal law governing handgun sales from dealers, the records were not submitted. So I think one thing, and this is the minimal that we can talk about, is that the background check system and the record system needs to be improved. But I think it's a mistake to focus on sort of what small fix would address this specific incident, hopefully. We need to step back and really say, America's got a gun problem, and are we willing to accept it and accept that these things will happen every 3, 4, 5, 8 years? You have a Columbine every 8 years. Are you willing to say we have to do something about it? And unfortunately, that remains an open question.
And is there some kind of connection to be made with the fact that gun ownerships in households are going down? What is that saying?
Well, it's a direct result of the... Well, I guess you have to go back a step. You have to recognize the gun industry is a business. And they're, like other businesses, the victim, if you want to call it that, of market forces, of outside issues. And what's hitting the gun industry is the fact that the next generation isn't becoming part of the broader gun culture. Hunting is declining. It's basically accepted that hunting as we know it will not exist in 20 years. It'll be a much more sort of rarefied sport. Land use issues limit hunting. Land use issues limit shooting ranges. Kids aren't interested in guns. They'd much rather sleep in late, play a video game on Saturday morning, then get up early and go hunting. The rise in single-parent households headed by women has limited interest in guns. And so really it's a variety of societal factors.
And isn't it also the stories of kids finding guns and ending up dead?
I like to think that part of it is people recognizing the risk that bringing guns into your home represents to children and family. And certainly I can attest to anecdotal evidence of that. But that has not turned up, to be honest, on a broader scale as measured in demographics or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. So how then do we explain the rise in purchasing of these lethal weapons? Where's that coming from?
Well, it's not so much that the weapons themselves, that the purchases are increasing. They aren't. I mean, the gun industry has been in a steady decline since approximately 1994. There are peaks and valleys, but overall, gun sales are going down. They peaked in 1994 because of the passage of the assault weapons ban and the Brady Bill before that. The industry threw the gun buying or the potential gun buying public into a panic. A recent study, as I mentioned earlier, that came out last week, showed that even after the 9/11 attacks, there was not any decreased support for gun control or increase long-term in gun sales. So really what it is, you have fewer and fewer people own guns, but each person is owning more guns, and odds are those guns are more lethal.
And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Josh, I'd like to talk about the solutions to this. What can be done, what should be done to address this, the increasing numbers of lethal firearms that make these types of killings like we saw at Virginia Tech take place. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 40 Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic around the 44 Exchange. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for some slowdowns there, as well as between McCausland and Hampton, as people are taking their one last look at the Tam overpass. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. Look for traffic building. Eastbound 44 between Soccer Park and 270. It is on the move, but it is heavy. Northbound 55 between 3200 South Broadway and 44. Look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the bank into the landing looks good. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slowdowns in the right lanes. And northbound 55 from Imperial Main and Richardson. Look for that accident to have been cleared, but you can still see some residual congestion going on there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high around 70. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 50 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
The Gateway Chapter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society presents its first annual Uncorking a Cure wine dinner and auction. It takes place on Saturday at 6:30 at the Old Warson Country Club. Tickets are available for individuals or tables of eight, and proceeds benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. For more information or to make reservations, call 314-878-0780 or email starlinga@lls.org. News to you from WGNU. For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
My son was a bright and talented child, but in his teens something changed and he barely finished high school. Later I found out that he'd gotten into drugs. He couldn't hold a job and his only financial support was a family who gave him money just to keep him away. This went on for 12 years, during which time he was a waste to himself and a burden to others. After trying numerous drug rehab programs, I finally found Narcanon. By that time, he was at the end of his rope. Thanks to Narcanon, he regained his health and became himself again. And most importantly, he became drug-free. Now he's a happy, productive father with a family of his own. I can't express how proud I am. My son and I have never been closer or had such a good relationship. Narcanon not only gave me back my son, but also gave me a very good friend.
Are drugs affecting your family or a friend? Call Narcanon at 1-800-556-8885. Narcanon provides free assessment and referral services. Call Narcanon at 1-800-556-8885 or visit our website at drugrehab.net.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking this morning to Josh Sugarman. He's the Executive Director for the Violence Policy Center, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Josh, we have millions and millions and millions of dollars that the NRA has. A lot of influence in our Congress, a lot of influence in our legislators, a lot of influence on the state level. How do you change this?
Well, I mean, I think what you have to look at is the fact that, and, you know, polls are sometimes the last defense that people rely upon. But the fact is clear, and it's been consistent, that the vast majority of Americans do support gun control. There's always been strong support. And when you look at specific gun control measures, say like renewing the federal assault weapons ban, the support actually increases. But here's the problem. Whereas we have public support, the NRA has a very vocal, organized cadre of supporters who have the boots on the ground. In fact, your state is one of the best examples of that. When you had the vote, the referendum on the concealed carry law, the law was not accepted by the people.
That is correct.
But then the NRA came in and worked through the state house, where they have the greater power, and then a conciliatory law is put into effect. And the problem is this. After shootings like Virginia Tech, or those who face gun violence on a daily basis in their communities, they have to make their voices heard. I know it's a tired and almost a cliche to say that you have to call your congressman, make your voice heard, go to the district meetings, don't call once, call seven times, whatever number you want. But that's really how things get done on both the state and the federal level. And, you know, the harsh reality is the fact that until people get angry, not just after each high-profile shooting, but angry in general, we're not going to see real change because our political leaders are not going to act without being pushed.
The other piece of this also is, Josh, that making the connect between acts like this, what happened at Virginia Tech, with the issue of guns. Because who's talking about it from the perspective of too many guns?
Right. I think what we saw after Columbine, and we're seeing it not just to such a great degree, but we're still seeing it. When you have shootings like this, I think part of it is people view the gun control debate as almost intractable, and also the number of guns out there. We almost go into a national denial. We talk about anything except the guns themselves. We'll talk about metal detectors, security plans, the very psyche of the shooter, but we won't talk about the big picture. No one steps back and says, let's talk about guns in America. And if you look at, and we've been getting, not surprisingly, phone calls all week from, you know, domestic press, news media, and foreign press. And the domestic press is very more sort of, tell us about the gun, tell us what happened, tell us the history, whereas the foreign press just reacts with shock and anger and really just sort of puzzlement, like, how can you people keep letting this happen? And I think that's the difference between the U.S. and other nations. We each have the same reaction to shootings like this. There's horror, there's revulsion, there's anger, but in other nations, then there's action. And in this country, we haven't taken the action yet.
I started our conversation off with a story about Kennesaw, Georgia, where the town requires the residents to own guns.
Right. Kennesaw was actually passed in response to a town called Morton Grove in Illinois that was the first U.S. community to ban handgun sale and possession. The Kennesaw law actually is more of a political statement because there's an exemption to the law that you don't have to own a gun if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, in Kennesaw, that was probably a very small segment of the population. But Kennesaw really has been more of a symbol than anything else, any sort of test case. People compare, you know, robberies, Morton Grove versus Kennesaw every now and then, and, you know, one here, one there, down by one, up by two, whatever. I think the bigger picture is that there has been consistent research coming out of the Harvard School of Public Health showing that states with the highest density of guns, you know, your states primarily in the South, the West, actually have the highest rates not just of gun homicide, gun suicide, but overall suicide and homicide because of the role that guns play. There's a big myth out there that the states that, you know, they know guns, they respect guns, they have low gun death and injury rates, and the exact opposite is true.
Can you measure, are there any statistics out there, because we hear this statement all the time from the NRA and others with, of the same mindset, that the fact that people like with the conceal and carry, the fact that people can have a gun on them stops crime.
Right. I mean, there is a big...
How do you measure that?
Well, we can measure by the number of criminals killed by citizens across the country with guns.
Okay.
And the number is minuscule. The most recent numbers coming out of the FBI, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's approximately in 2005, about 150 incidents where guns of all types were used to kill a criminal justifiably by a private citizen. I think handguns was about 120, maybe 111. I just saw the numbers yesterday. So the idea that people are out there killing criminals, stopping crimes, is basically one of the greatest myths that's been sold. Now, the obvious question is, how many people stop a crime without shooting the criminal and killing him?
Mm-hmm.
And according to the National Crime Victimization Survey, which is the largest survey done by the U.S. Government on this issue, there are an estimated 60,000 instances where a gun is available when a crime is being possibly committed. Of those, it's not known what type of gun it was, whether it was used successfully, how it's defined as far as the crime itself. You stack that possible 60,000 against the hundreds of thousands of crimes committed with guns every year, and the scale tips away from the NRA's arguments. There's been additional research done, once again by the Harvard School of Public Health, showing that a lot of self-defined self-defense uses come down to two guys are having an argument in a bar, and or whatever scenario you want. What they define as self-defense would in fact be defined as assault under the law.
Let me get to a caller or two. Leah. Lee.
Yeah.
Yes, you have a question for my guest, Josh Sugarman.
Yes, my question is, as a taxpayer and a voter here in Missouri, and with the report that came out with St. Louis being this state here in Missouri ranking number one with homicides, why would our governor, mayor, and chief of police even let that national gun be even convention to this state? It just is appalling to me. If I was the chief of police and the mayor and the governor, I would have said no, simply because statistics show that our state is ranking number one. Why?
Thanks for your call. She makes a good point.
Well, and as I'm sure your caller knows, the reason the convention moved to St. Louis was because a city in Ohio had passed an assault weapons ban, and the NRA couldn't take that, and they, you know, left in a huff. But, you know, I mean, certainly I think the NRA convention, you know, their ability to celebrate guns in communities that are being racked by gun violence, you know, it's deeply disturbing.
Mac, you have a question for my guest, Josh
Sherman. Yeah, I want to speak about a gun a minute. I was saved myself once from a robbery with a gun. See, first of all, you don't have to shoot a gun a lot of times to protect yourself, just the idea you got a gun. Now, me personally, I do think if the Indians had access to guns, they would have still had a country. Answer that, sir.
Josh, did you hear the question?
Oh, I actually didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. The caller, Max, said that he's had a gun before and he has used his gun and it is in a circumstance that has protected him. And then he also made the point that, or made the statement that if the Native Americans had had guns, then the Native Americans would still be in control of this country.
Well, I think going back to the self-defense issue, I mean, when you look at it, unfortunately, guns in general are rarely used for self-defense, and it's a matter of weighing how guns are used in our society as far as death, 30,000 deaths a year, two or three times that number injured, versus how they're used for self-defense. And then when you raise a self-defense issue, what could be done instead of owning a gun, whether it's in the home, outside the home, that could protect you equally but not present the risk to you and your family?
And also, I mean, and also, what kind of society do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the type of society that you have, that people have this kind of access to these types of super lethal weapons? We're not talking about six shooters. We're talking about extraordinarily lethal weapons.
Well, and I invite your listeners to go to our website, which is www.vpc.org, where we have a video from YouTube, actually, that shows a Glock 19, which was the gun used in the Virginia Tech shooting, being fired. And the shooter firing off magazine after magazine, really in a matter of seconds. And it gives you a very disturbing and unfortunately realistic idea of the firepower of these weapons.
Mm. And 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the long-distance number. Don't forget that we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web. You can check that out at LizBrown.com, LizzBrown.com, or WGNU.net.
Thomas, on, baby.
Thomas, you have a question?
Yes, ma'am. Only thing I disagree with your caller, I mean your guest, and you about guns. I think the white man himself, if you go back into history, all the way history back, all the knowledge of elements and everything we got on earth came through from black people. I think the white man was really, no disgrace to him, but I think the white man was just an evil man, was born evil, and he really wanted to control everything in the world, and that's the reason why he do that.
So you're saying that the action to take away guns is related to race?
Yes, ma'am.
Got your point. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Josh Sugarman, Executive Director for the Violence Policy Center, joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Wanna holla, make me wonder how this
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation about guns. I'm having a conversation about violence. I'm having a conversation with the executive director for the Violence Policy Center, Josh Sugarman, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. And, Josh, the last caller raised the issue of race. I watched the documentary, the documentary by... you know who I'm talking about, the
Michael Moore,
and how Michael Moore made the connection with the creation of the NRA and the issue of race. And the caller was raising the question of this being a possible race issue. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think your caller, I mean, my answer was that is gun control some racist plot to disarm black America? In fact, there's been research done showing that the Second Amendment was put in place to protect slave owners during that time who wanted to make sure they would be well-armed in the case of potential slave rebellions. But today, I mean, I think the race issue is much more one of looking at how African Americans in America are disproportionately affected by gun violence. And I think, you know, if anything, the brunt being born by blacks in America is startling when you look at gun violence in this country. We did a study in January of this year looking at black homicide victimization and looking at the fact that the homicide rate is six times for black Americans versus white Americans.
What kind of weapons? Has a study been done within that study of the types of weapons that are being used that are killing people of African descent?
The vast majority, 80%, are guns. Of those guns, 80% are handguns.
And of those handguns, what kind of handguns are we talking about? Are we talking about the same type of handguns that were used in the Virginia Tech shooting?
We didn't. That information is not available. I can tell you anecdotally, from experience, from discussions, the vast bulk of guns are pistols, high-capacity pistols.
High-capacity pistols, and that's what was used in the Virginia Tech.
Right, and, you know, when you talk to people who work in emergency rooms, I talked to one doctor, and we were talking about the differences he's seen from the 1980s to today. And his response was, they have more holes in them, and the holes are a lot bigger.
Mm.
And that's the result of this trend that we've seen towards greater firepower.
Mm. Let me get to some more callers here. John, do you have a question for my guest, Josh Sugarman?
Yes. This call is related to the last caller. How do you feel about the felon in possession of firearms law? I'm going to hang up, okay? Thank you, ma'am.
Did you hear the question?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay. I believe he said the federalization of the gun laws. I don't know what he meant.
Well, I'm not sure, but I mean, I think that the most effective means to approach gun violence in the country is through federal legislation. We have some states that have very tough, effective laws, California, New Jersey, New York. There are others, Massachusetts. But all those states are held hostage by states with lax gun laws. And because guns are easily transportable, they can go from basically a state with a lack of control to a state with high control. And the most effective way to approach the issue is on the federal level, especially when talking about issues regarding types of weapons and the distribution of weapons.
Let me get to another caller. Tim, do you have a question for my guest, Josh?
Yeah, thank you. Quickly, on the thing of race, I saw a study of the federal FBI Bureau in the late 70s. 52% of the murders in this country have been committed by African Americans. And I was going to ask the same thing. How many of those is handguns? Thank you.
Are you aware of that statistic, Josh?
No, but, I mean, roughly half of murder victims in this country are African American. I think it's a little less than half right now. And across the board, guns are the number one murder and suicide tool. So the bulk of murders in this country are committed with guns. The bulk of those are handguns. So that basically holds true. As far as what types of handguns are used in these homicides, we don't have that type of data.
And why not?
Because there's not good record keeping. I mean, right now, it's amazing. You know, we have 3,000.
I'm just amazed. Why don't you have that data?
We have 3,000 dead a year. We know very little about the guns that are used to kill. All we know are the type of weapon. This is looking at the federal level. We know whether it's a rifle, a shotgun, or a handgun. And that's it.
Who's responsible for putting together that data?
What happens is that there is a system called the Uniform Crime Report, and it's local reporting. It bubbles up to a central state depository, and then that's fed into the federal system. At the same time, the National Center for Health Statistics collects data, which is a little more detailed, but still lacks things like type of handgun, model. I mean, we need better record keeping in this country. And in fact, right now, we're going the opposite direction. There's a measure called the TR Amendment that bans the release of tracing data to law enforcement, to people like ourselves doing research. We used to be able to tell you what's the number one crime gun in America. We used to be able to tell you where do guns come from across the country that turn up in a given city. We can't tell you that anymore. If you want to know today the number one crime gun is in America, the make, model, we can't tell you that.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's insane. And that's why right now law enforcement...
And why doesn't law enforcement want to know this? Why isn't law enforcement screaming at the top of their lungs so that they can prepare?
Actually, law enforcement is. I mean, there's a growing movement among law enforcement, among mayors in this country, to say demanding this information. But the reason this is happening, and it goes back full circle, is that groups like the NRA, they fear information. Because if you look at information regarding gun violence in America, who's being killed, with what, in what circumstances, it leads you to understand we've got a gun problem. Like, for example, I mentioned earlier, right now there's been a dramatic trend in marketing and purchasing of 50 caliber sniper rifles.
Mm.
They're weapons of war that are used in Iraq by our troops where they should be. But you can buy one. It can down a jetliner on takeoff and landing. It can penetrate armor plating from a mile away.
Wait, Josh, wait a minute. After 9/11, we can buy these?
Yes. You can buy a semi-automatic 50 caliber sniper rifle. If you're 18 years old, have a clean record, you can go in, purchase one, and walk out with it.
A 19-year-old can buy one of these?
Yes, an 18-year-old.
An 18-year-old can buy one of these.
And groups ranging from government analyses to the RAND Corporation have raised the fact that this is a clear threat to our country, to national security. But we don't know, and we know anecdotally these guns have been used in crime against police, but we don't even know how many have been used in crime in this country. We can't get the information.
It just makes you want to cuss. How can we not know this stuff? How can we not know this?
Because the gun lobby has been very effective in shutting down information in this country.
D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Josh, the Asians are so competitive in the educational arena that the hatred toward them is very intense. When I was at the University of Chicago, the hatred toward them was worse than it was toward me as a black. I forgot what the word is, but there is a word coined just for the hatred of Asians. I think Chong Lee was pushed over the edge as a result of racism, which resulted in the killing spree. I really believe that, and I think the racism needs to be dealt with. The guns are terrible, but I think some of us should be able to protect ourselves, because I don't know what the alternative would be to a gun. Because when we call the police, it's over when they get here.
Thanks for your call.
Well, I think when you look at that issue, it goes back to a point I made earlier, is that gun violence is a symptom of much bigger issues. Racism, anger, opportunity. The difference between our nation and other nations is that when someone acts out based on this, they have access to unparalleled firepower. And, you know, if he didn't have a gun, would go down the list, an axe, any measure you want. It's far less lethal than a firearm.
Well, and not only a firearm, but the type of firearm that can fire this many bullets that fast.
Correct.
Josh, what's your website?
www.btc.org.
Josh Sugarman, Executive Director for the Violence Policy Center. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We'll be back to discuss, I'm going to be trying to plan your weekend. So we're going to be back to discuss what you need to be doing this weekend. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Don't be surprised if you see a lot of orange and maroon today where you work. They're the Virginia Tech colors, and a lot of people are wearing them. On what the governor of Virginia is asking to be a national day of mourning in honor of the 32 people gunned down at the school earlier this week. You may also hear a reminder of the victim's memory today. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Bells will ring across the Commonwealth in memory of the 32 victims. It was a diverse group gunned down by Sung Hee Cho's indiscriminate bullets. There were freshmen fulfilling language requirements, doctoral students studying mechanical engineering. Cho's video and photographs dominated the media, and now one parent says she wants more attention paid to the victims. In their memory, the Alumni Association here wants people across the country to wear orange and maroon, hokey colors.
A professor killed in the massacre was buried in Israel.
Daria, there was anguish here at the funeral for Liviu Librescu, but there was also a lot of anger. Virginia Tech professor's wife blamed the state's lax gun laws for the massacre and her husband's death. His son Aria called him a consummate teacher, saying that in his last few moments, Librescu began a new career teaching heroism to millions worldwide. Daria.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Jerusalem. The war of words over the war in Iraq is heating up. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the U.S. has lost. And the president knows it. Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy agrees.
There is not a military resolution. There has to be a political resolution. That is something the administration refuses to recognize.
The president says comments like that are proof that many Democrats no longer support the troops. This Sunday will be Earth Day, and an ABC News poll says more Americans are worried about a major environmental issue. ABC News polling director Gary Langer.
Public concern about global warming has soared in the last year. In an open-ended question, 33% of Americans now call it the world's single biggest environmental problem, double what it was a year ago, and now far ahead of any other environmental issue.
This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Check out the new trimmer.
Yeah, I have the same one, remember?
Ultralight, more power, beat that, buddy.
Jim, we bought them together at the Home Depot.
Mine's newer.
No, it's not.
You were in front of me in line. You've had yours longer.
Whatever.
Want the latest in portable power? The Home Depot has it, like HomeLight's new Ultralight String Trimmer with improved power for only $64. Find the best brands, Echo, Cub Cadet, Ryobi, and more, only at the Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
The Virginia Tech shootings triggered a string of copycat threats, and at least one person who staged one is under arrest. Here's ABC's Gil Gross.
It was late Tuesday night that officials at San Diego State University discovered a threat on the Internet to kill 50 students Thursday morning. This is taken very seriously there, because in 1996, a graduate student defending his thesis pulled out a gun and murdered three professors. The FBI traced the threat to a 32-year-old web designer from Benita, California, named Cristobal Gonzalez, who was arrested Wednesday night and charged Thursday. He faces up to 5 years in prison. His parents were at the courthouse in San Diego, with his mom, Diana Gomez, saying of her son's case, "I hope it doesn't ruin his future." Gil Gross, ABC News.
A recent staff memo at a Swedish hospital went something like this: leave your Crocs at home. Employees like to wear the Swedish clocks, which are made here in the U.S. They're very comfortable, but they generate a lot of static electricity, enough to knock power out to some medical equipment. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Branchmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, two St. Charles West High School students and a former student have been charged with burglary. Police say 18-year-old Marquise Crump, 17-year-old Michael Berry II, and 17-year-old Jeff Johnson III stole 12 guns from a St. Charles home. Police say they also stole items from another home in the neighborhood. The police department was concerned that the stolen weapons could lead to an incident similar to the Virginia Tech shootings. The teens are in St. Charles County Jail on $20,000 bond. Police are looking for a connection between two shootings and attempted car thefts. In March, 27-year-old David Schoenberger was critically wounded when he was shot by a thief attempting to steal his neighbor's car on Eichelberger Avenue. Early this past Saturday, 36-year-old Daryl Booth was shot and killed by a car thief on Utah Street. Booth lived within a few miles of last month's shooting, and police are investigating whether it was the same thief in both incidents. Finally this hour, the Blues' number one draft pick from 2006 is on his way. Defenseman Eric Johnson was introduced as the newest member of the Note yesterday afternoon. The 19-year-old Johnson is expected to join the team's training camp in September and will most likely be on the opening day roster. He signed a 3-year entry-level contract with a base salary of $765,000 plus an $85,000 signing bonus. Blues owner Dave Checketts flew into St. Louis specifically to be a part of the welcoming party. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Branchmeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Northbound 270 between Gravel and Doherty Ferry. Look for a slow volume there. Northbound 55 from Imperial Main to Richardson. There's still some congestion going on after an earlier accident was cleared at Richardson Road. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and the Graham Hanley. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, that traffic is lighter than normal right now. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Then again from Lindbergh through McKnight, look for slowdowns, but everything is rolling at the speed limit. Westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into the 5570 split is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. And northbound Route 3 is looking good, rolling onto the bridge at this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 is moving well, and in northbound 270 at Highway 70, look for slow traffic in the right lanes as you exit onto 70. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to sunny skies, high around 70 this evening, mostly clear, low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s, and Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 54 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how resistance?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609. That is my fax. Get up, get to me. And because I like to plan your life here, I'd like to tell you all what you need to do, when you're supposed to be doing it, and all of that good stuff. I want to talk about an event that's happening this weekend, and I have a guest in the studio to help facilitate that conversation, Ken Dotson with the George Washington Carver House. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great.
Good. There's an event happening this weekend. Tell us what it has to do with
Absolutely. There is the 13th Carnival at Wash U this weekend, and it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday.
11 to 7.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you can come on down and
well, what
and
do you do at this carnival?
Well, it's a carnival. It's going to have rides. It's going to have games. It's going to have all those fun foods that we like,
mm-hmm.
that we know we don't need, but we love. So it's a great, great time to hang out. And with the weather being the way it is.
They say the weather is going to be gorgeous
this
weekend.
It's going to be a nice time to be out at a carnival.
And it's a great family thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Because the prices are really, really reasonable and stuff.
Absolutely. Everything is priced affordable. It's price, I like to call it a fun price,
mm-hmm.
allow you to have a lot of fun
mm-hmm.
for a little bit of money.
And so what does this have to do with George Washington Carver House?
Well, George Washington Carver House, as you know, has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have partnered with, in this instance, partnered with 13, partnered with Wash U, to put together this very fun event and be a part of it. So
mm-hmm.
that's where we are with that.
So talk to us about George Washington Carver House.
George Washington Carver House, the Carver House, has been around for a very, very long time. It has been around since 1932.
1932, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is one of the first desegregated community centers west of the Mississippi. And it's still a grassroots organization, still very... we are actually in a rebirth right
mm-hmm.
now, where we are implementing new and vibrant programs to facilitate the people in our community. So,
Well, tell us about George Washington Carver, the history of Carver House.
Well, it was initially began as Wesley House. Mm-hmm. It was the first Wesley House. And
what is Wesley House?
Wesley House is a community center, mm-hmm. and where at Wesley House we did everything. And I say we, just part of the organization because, of course, I wasn't back, you know, in those days. But Carver House did everything. We did everything from community activism to cooking classes, band, athletics, everything. We did everything you could possibly think of. All of those things that you need to do to be productive citizens, we taught mm-hmm. then. And part of our rebirth, we are implementing those same things again, techniques for our young people to become socially responsible and responsible to their communities.
We're going to continue this conversation. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking about George Washington Carver House and a weekend activity for you all and your family to take part in and have a good time with. We will be back. Stay with us.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we're talking about an event that is taking place in St. Louis. I want to plan your weekend. I want to plan your weekend. And it's an event that is involving one of my favorite places, George Washington Carver House. And I'm here with Ken Dotson with George Washington Carver House, and we're talking about that event. And again, Ken, just let people know that may have just joined us about this event that's taking place this weekend.
This weekend at Washington University on their campus, there will be a carnival. Mm-hmm. You can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from small roller coasters to Ferris wheels, tons of games, tons of fun, and very, very well priced, and on a beautiful day, so I hear mm-hmm. it's going to be tomorrow. So it's going to be open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
And you are partnering with them.
Absolutely. It is part of a year-long partnership to provide services to our community. So it is something we're really looking forward to.
So going back to who and what George Washington Carver House is, tell us about the name, George Washington Carver. How did that name come to be chosen?
Of course, you know, everyone has an understanding or an idea of who George Washington Carver was. George Washington Carver is a native of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
When the Wesley House was desegregated, we had the opportunity, African Americans had the opportunity to name our own facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose to name it the George Washington Carver House. Shortly after that, there was a second Wesley House, and they kept the name Wesley, and they are still thriving also, just like Carver House, on Lee.
Mm-hmm. And I've read some things about George Washington Carver, and while some people have like an anecdotal understanding of him, I think that people really would be amazed if they really studied who this man was.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it is, he was such an amazing man that it is sometimes hard to keep up with the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because our young people, we teach constantly, all year round, all day, every day. It's not a seasonal thing about the greatness of African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And a way for you to contribute. And that, you know, one thing that we definitely point out is that this was not something that he went out to do. It was something that was in him, something special, and he was able to contribute to the world, not just to his state or city, but to the world with his contributions.
Mm-hmm. And give us some of the examples of some of those things that are interesting. I mean, one of the things that's amazing to me is this whole thing that kind of organic farmers are now looking at, this whole crop rotation piece, that you're supposed to, you can't strip the soil.
Absolutely. But one of the things that was amazing about Dr. Carver was that he took a totally different approach to agriculture. He took a more scientific approach to it. He took a grassroots approach to it,
mm-hmm.
that this was something that he could do to help his community. And by his community, his fellow farmers, he was a farmer, of course, mm-hmm. a botanist, so he was a farmer himself. He knew that there was a way to make these plants healthy, to keep them healthy. And because of him, now we don't have years where corn won't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have years where barley won't grow because we understand the science behind it.
And there was just kind of a respect for nature and a respect for the earth and a respect for how things are supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I find it sad. And of course, this is with the history afterwards, and I think in a different type of a mindset. But I find it sad that he didn't want to have any patents on any of his products, and he didn't because he wanted them to be for the world. But to me, that's just a missed opportunity, because had there been that, then there could have been institutions, George Washington institutions all over, George Washington Carver's institutions all over the world, because of the money that would have come in as a result of the patent.
I understand that. But there is also the chance that the good that he wanted to have happen would not have happened with his inventions, with his gifts. So a lot of times when you give a gift, you know, you don't expect anything.
And again, it's just about, to me, it's about having the funding to continue the legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and because I mean that's why things like the botanical garden is able to grow and to be all the things that it has, because of the endowments and the money that is connected to its growth. It didn't grow from one seed; it grew from the money that was attached to it. And
well, I think that there is, even to this day, there is an amount of value to what he has done, because our world prospers because of the inventions, because of his gift. Daily, every day, every harvest is a gift back to the world because of his gift to us.
I'm talking about a focused financial.
I understand
the focused financial endowment for the people, people of African descent, as a result of his inventions. That's what I'm that's what I'm looking for.
I hear you.
Okay, so so let's talk about a focused attention on people of African descent. Let's talk about some of the things that George Washington Carver House does for the kids out here.
One thing that he was allowed us to do is to take his name, and because of that, start an organization like the George Washington Carver House. And the George Washington Carver House, now for, you know, since 1932, has been serving youth and their families in and around St. Louis. And amazing people have come in and out of Carver House. I mean, names like Robert E. Lee, names like Ed Tripp, God rest his soul, and Mr. Harrison, and so many other people, young people then, who made a difference in their community. And we have young people poised to do that now. It is a very special thing to take our young people and empower them to be stronger for our communities. And that's what we do every day. We teach the techniques of social responsibility every single day at Carver House. It is one where respect must be taught. And the thing about teaching respect to young people today is that respect must come with forgiveness. We must forgive them for being ignorant about something, instead of condemning them for those things and saying, forget about it, they'll never get it.
Mm-hmm.
We find ourselves being very forgiving with them. But the reward is them having a understanding about respect that allows them to be viable young people and businessmen and leaders in our community.
Well, and some of the things, some of the other things that I like about George Washington Carver House, or Carver House, is again, teaching young people the things that I think a lot of adults need to know, like going to being part of like manners and how to go out and eat.
Absolutely.
Things like that.
Absolutely. Those are things that that you get from grassroots organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing, I think an issue that needs to be dealt with, particularly here in St. Louis, is that the traditional structure does not work for community-based organizations.
Mm-hmm.
When you try to force a organization to be just one thing so you can write on your report, oh, they give out food or they give out clothing. Traditionally, what we do is we serve the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
It is food going on, there is music going on, there's art going on, there's so many things going on to serve the community, because the cookie cutting type of techniques that are used to serve our community right now just are not working.
Well, I don't think cookie cutter things work anyway. You can't,
even in
schools, you can't say that we're only going to teach this way, because you have a classroom full of little individuals with different individual needs.
And one thing that really has failed with the traditional structure is that there was this state of mind that if we could just help one child, I remember hearing that when I was young. If I could just help one child, I remember a speaker saying that in the auditorium of Vishon, where he was talking about just helping one person, and there's 1,200 kids sitting in the auditorium. So when you help that one, you feel better. But what happens with the rest of the young people that are not served? If we do not serve our community as a whole, we cannot hope to achieve some of the goals that we have set for ourselves.
And one is not enough.
No, one is not enough. And the thing is that, of course, we want you to help that one. We absolutely want you to help that one. But we need more than that.
And we're going to take a break on that. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. I'm talking to Ken Dotson about George Washington Carver House and an event that's going on this weekend, a carnival that's going on this weekend that you all need to just go out and have a good time with. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 55 from Imperial Main through Richardson. Look for no delays from an earlier accident. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley. That traffic is building. Eastbound 70 is moving at the speed limit from K through 79. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. And then again from Lindbergh through McKnight. You can expect everything to be on the move. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move, and northbound 270 at Highway 70, look for slow traffic in the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high around 70 for this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. And Sunday, pretty much the same, mostly sunny with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 53 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Rasta Resolution, removing the pollution and bringing you the musical solution with Rasilos right here, WGNU Radio.
King Silos, a culture nationalist. Rasta Resolutions airs every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night on WGNU Rasta Resolutions.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. you need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And because I like to, I love planning your weekends and planning your time here, I have a wonderful opportunity for you this weekend. And it's in conjunction with one of my favorite places, George Washington Carver House. And I'm here with Ken Dotson, who is with George Washington Carver House, and he's going to tell us about that event.
Well, Liz, it is a event, a very fun event. It is a carnival, and it's going to be at Washington University, and it is going to start at 11 o'clock and end at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, so a lot of fun. The prices are definitely affordable for young people on a beautiful day like Saturday and Sunday is supposed to be
like today, and today is very pretty so far.
It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day for a carnival.
Well, let me get to a caller or two here. Yes, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
This is the Vashon Lee.
Yes.
As we speak, I am looking east from my apartment at Carver House. We grew up around here coming to Carver House.
All right.
At one time, there wasn't anything mainly for the youngsters to do but go to the community centers.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're in the heart of where everything happens, Carver School, Vashon at the old building, Vashon at the new building here on Bell, the kids went there. The Sayes, the Howards, us, the Friesen girls, all of the people in the neighborhood learned good mannerisms and how to finish their skills or horn their skills up as kids and follow through. So we're just proud of Vanneker and everybody. And I have been speaking to Miss Mammon, but Miss Brown, you know, I'm the one that was hit by the school bus.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm still in OT.
Yes,
I
ma'am.
I wasn't able to get the blankets there this year.
That's okay.
But I will be there. I'm healing fine. But I had to get in this morning and say congratulations to you guys. Keep the good work up. And I'm sorry, Miss Brown, you were going to say something.
That's okay.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to ask you to describe a day when you were a little girl going to Carver House. What was that like? What did you do?
Oh, Mr. Young. Does the name Mr. Young ring a bell to
Ralph
you?
Ralph T. Young, absolutely.
All right.
We still have
how far we go back.
Absolutely.
I am a great grandmother.
All right.
We had fun there. We had crafts. We were taught things. We had sports. Anything you wanted to learn to do to make young men and young women out of us. And the discipline was there because right across the street at First Baptist, we had religious education.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend John Nance, the late
mm-hmm.
John Nance, was the truant officer.
Absolutely.
Miss Brown, St. Louis has been known, and especially the 19th Ward, we do things.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So keep up the good work.
All right.
Love all of you guys. And I'll be over there.
All right. Take care. Heal.
Love you.
Love
you.
Thank you
so much. Hey, Ms. Brown, excuse me for saying that. Didn't we have a wonderful turnout of young people at the City Hall?
Yes, ma'am.
Your group was so beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
And congratulations to Louis Reed.
That's a fact.
I was there.
That's a fact.
Bye-bye.
President Reed.
Yes, President.
All right.
Today he will be performing in the regular seat.
That's right.
God bless everybody.
All right. Take care now.
Love you.
Love you too. 1-877-920-WGNU. And Ken, she just underscores the point that you were making about all of the things that Carver House does. Could you run through some of the programs that you all do?
Well,
you all have.
What we do is something very, very unique. I've worked with some amazing organizations throughout the years, but none as unique as the George Washington Carver House, because when an individual comes into Carver House, we sit down, we talk with them, we speak with whatever parent or guardian, sometimes even with POs, about what this young person wants to do. And we try to facilitate in some manner any and all of those things that they are interested in. If it is being a scientist, which you would be surprised how many of these young people whose pants are sagging down to their knees are interested in science. They don't know exactly how to get there, but they are interested in science. And what we've done over the past years is expose them. And recently, in conjunction and partnership with Washington University, now we have had access to their science department. Mm-hmm. And groups of young people go there to participate in science projects that we would not be able to provide for them ordinarily because of the enormous price attached to some of the equipment and
that's why you needed
things
the endowment.
Like that.
That's why you needed the endowment.
Okay. But they have been exposed to that, and now because of that, mm-hmm. interested in science in a different way. Know that they now know specifically where in science they would like to go.
And you went to Carver House when you were a kid? Young person?
Well, I was never a Carver kid. I was introduced to Carver House as an employee for the first time as a teenager.
As a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, so you're past your teen year. You have a few years
mm-hmm.
on you.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about today's kids? Do you find the challenges? I mean, you started there when you were working there when you were 16.
Yeah.
And is it different today? Are the challenges different today than they were when you were?
You know what? There is very little different about our kids.
Mm-hmm.
What is different is our adults.
Mm-hmm.
The adults are different.
How so?
Their commitment to their community is not the same as my grandparents' commitment to
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult to find adults to participate in programs. We don't get, it used to be where we would get a lot of grandparents and a lot of mothers. Now we're lucky if we get a cousin to come to an event.
Mm-hmm.
So the children are the same. They still need the same things. They
mm-hmm.
still need love and protection and support, education. They still need those same fundamental basic things. It's just that it's harder to get people to commit to the time that it takes to do it. We have an enormous amount of very qualified, talented, educated individuals here in St. Louis. St. Louis is one of the most impressive as far as African Americans being educated in the country. But you very seldomly see those people commit the time back to the community that is needed to change things.
Mm-hmm.
It is Or
to ensure that there's going to be a future for things.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I do want to take this time to mention some of the organizations that have been doing a wonderful job. I hope to see them do more, and that's organizations like the AKAs and the Deltas, the Alphas, and the Qs have all been doing a wonderful job at Carver House putting it in. So, you know, the Greek Society has been doing a wonderful job. And another organization that I would love to mention, because they have been wonderful, and that is the Lynx. The Lynx has been I can't explain how important they have been in this past few years helping with this rebirth. They are definitely part of this rebirth. So with Margaret Bush Wilson and all the other ladies, so many of you guys, I can't mention all your names, but so many of the ladies help all the time at Carver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about helping in just a monetary sense or helping with just consultation or just some kind of moral support, because they do all of that. But these ladies have actually been there barbecuing, actually been there sweeping, actually been there painting. The kind of community activism, the kind of community support that I would love to see from more and more often.
And talk to us about some of the other programs you have. You have a grandparents program?
Our grandparents program is something that we're very proud of. The grandparents in our group hail from all parts of St. Louis. They participate in programs where they do gardening, where they take trips, where they put together learning sessions for young people to teach them, you know, the young. You know what? I'm going to digress just for a second here. It is amazing how very few young people know how to take care of themselves. I've learned that in my time of experience that young men don't know the difference between deodorant and antiperspirant.
Mm-hmm.
They young ladies have problems understanding how to apply makeup. Just, you know, when you're 16, you don't have to wear makeup, but a lot of them try to wear makeup, and they wind up overdoing it or underdoing it or not doing it right. So the grandparents play a vital role in taking these young people who they call their babies.
And like the Vashon lady was saying, finishing off. Mm-hmm. It's the finishing off of things. And for whatever reasons. I mean, mm-hmm. there are a lot of us that learn things as grown-ups that somebody should have taught us
Absolutely.
As a child. And you know, irrespective of the types mm-hmm. of households we came out of, mm-hmm. there are things to be taught irrespective mm-hmm. of where those kids came from. Mm-hmm. And sometimes an environment like that is the best place
Absolutely.
For things like that to be taught. It's a non-judgmental. It's a non-competitive. It's a loving concern about finishing you off,
mm-hmm.
you know, for right. for your journey through the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, starting you mm-hmm. properly on your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Young men learning how to tie ties for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I remember going out to dinner with young people for you and I going out to dinner with young people from mm-hmm. Carver House and. Teaching them how to fold a napkin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
yeah.
which fork to use and
mm-hmm.
which plate to use and mm-hmm. and what you pay as a tip and
proper conversation
mm-hmm. at the table, just all of those types of things it's so much fun. It really is just fun to have those conversations and to be imparting that information to these young people who are so receptive to it.
Right. And the amazing part of it is that. Although that was one night where they went out with, where you were able to be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
those young men, those, I think it was 8 or 10
yeah.
young
mm-hmm.
men, who then took that information, and now when we go out, they teach other
mm-hmm.
teenagers,
mm-hmm.
hey, you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why? Well, this is the way it's supposed to be done.
There you go.
You can do it any way you want. You can sit down and eat with your fingers if you like,
mm-hmm.
but the way you're supposed to do it respectfully is this way, and that's the way we do it. So learning those types of things is very, very important to how they're going to eventually serve their communities.
And we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
So bad, and I want to thank you for giving me that.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Ken Dotson with George Washington Carver House because Carver House is partnering with WashU13, is that right,
yep.
For a carnival?
Absolutely,
this
for
week.
A carnival.
Talk
this
to us about the carnival.
From 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. On the Washington University campus, there will be a carnival. A wonderful carnival, very well priced, and so much fun, you just won't believe it.
And it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Beautiful weekend.
Uh-huh. So it's a great time to go out there and have some fun with your kids. The highway's going to be shut down anyway. You might as well get over to the carnival because you're not going to be able to get to it. I'm exaggerating, but you need to go on out to the carnival because they're partnering with Carver House this year, and that's an important thing. And it's also going to be a partnership that lasts through the year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're talking about some of the programs that George Washington Carver House has. What role do you serve at George Washington Carver House?
I am I'm the program director.
Okay.
And what that means,
one thing
I've learned here in St. Louis in particular is that titles are everything.
Mm-hmm.
And but learning from some of my mentors growing up, Richard King and Lawrence Gwynn and Charles Shelton, that stuff isn't important.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you do.
The title's not important. It's what you do.
They don't remember your title. They remember what you do. They remember what you've done.
So talk to us about some of the other things that you do at Carver House. The food pantry?
Absolutely. We have a food pantry, and we have served. And there's a great story about our food pantry and about how it empowers. It can empower. When you just do what you need to do to help other people. There was a young woman who was having problems getting bills paid. So, of course, when we were stuck between getting electricity and gas and phone and all that stuff, sometimes food runs short. And so she would come periodically to Carver for that. And what she found out is that after coming a few times, she had about 3 or 4 boxes of instant cake mix. And she had 3 or 4, containers of frosting. And what she did is that, which was amazing, is that she took the cakes. And, of course, we take anything and make it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
She took the cake mix and did her thing to it and baked these cakes. And what she did is she wound up selling the cakes. And the cakes allowed her to make the money to pay utilities. And eventually what happened is that she became so well known for these cakes that she brought and the cakes that we bought that she wound up getting a job that allowed her to really take care of her bills. And now she works at a local soul food restaurant and she's one of the best cooks and bakers out there.
Wow.
So, wonderful things come when you put good things out there.
Wow. So we have the food pantry. Now, give people the hours and what is, if I needed to use your food pantry, how does that work, Ken?
Well, one thing I want to mention about our food pantry is that we take goods from all over St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to put together with our food pantry a very healthy selection of foods.
Mm-hmm.
We know that our communities are plagued by things like high blood pressure and diabetes and so on and so forth, which require a diet that allows them to, be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you're asking for food from organizations, they don't keep that in mind. What
mm-hmm.
they do is give you what they got,
mm-hmm.
and you just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that there's something in there that you can really feel good about eating.
And that your body is not going to suffer as a result of you trying to just fuel it.
Right. So, what we ran into years ago and we solved is that when people come for something, we don't just, say, well, he needs 3 cans of beans. We find out if he needs something else to help with his insulin
mm-hmm.
or high blood pressure. And we try to keep those things constantly in stock
mm-hmm.
to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, and anyone who's a diabetic probably will know about Crystal Light.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Crystal Light is the best, thing since, whatever, because it doesn't have the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It has very, very few calories. I think it's like 10 calories or something like that. And it is just as good as any other thing you would drink.
That has sugar
That has sugar in it. Mm-hmm. So we offer those types of things. And definitely we pick up and stock things like diet Pepsis or diet sodas or diet drinks, low sugar waters and things of that sort to help them with their diets, mm-hmm. as long as with just staying alive with the food that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping it healthy and providing the – it's not enough anymore to – and then we talked earlier about these cookie-cutter things, you know, food pantry. You know, it's easy to write off for someone, well, we're a food pantry. But it's not enough to just provide the food. There's a responsibility also that if I'm giving out 8 bags of cookies with tons of sugar in it, I can't give that to a person who has to eat and who only has that to eat, and they are diabetic.
Right.
So we have to be more responsible, and Carver has been at the forefront of that, of being responsible with the food pantry, being responsible with the food that we administer to our communities.
And how do people, if people have that need, what do they have to do?
The wonderful thing about Carver House, there's no fees, there's no requirements other than you come down, fill out the form, and we get you taken care of if we have the funding, if we have the food.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, you also, okay, so we have the food pantry, we have the grandparents program, we have the programs for the kids. What other programs?
And there's, I could go on and on about the youth programs. Mm-hmm. We have tons of youth programs. But
And for parents out there, because summer is coming up,
mm-hmm.
School's going to be letting out. What do parents have to do to enroll their kids at Carver House?
Just come on down to Carver, and we'll get you enrolled.
And where are you located?
We are at 3035 Bell Avenue.
3035 Bell?
Mm-hmm.
3035 Bell. And talk to us about the blanket drive.
You know, the blanket drive is a wonderful, wonderful time of year for us.
Wake-up call blanket drive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We see a huge involvement. From the community coming in to be a part of something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I must tell you, because we give out a lot of blankets, even now, just a few weeks ago, we had a young lady who lost everything in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we still need blankets. It's not over. You know, we still need, babies still need blankets at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we were still able to get those blankets to her, and she was more than grateful for that, and we were happy to give that to her. But we would not have been able to do that as readily,
mm-hmm.
If we had not had the blanket drive, and we thank you again, Liz, for that.
Well, and I just love being able to partner with Carver House to make things like that, to do things like that, because people have needs, and we all can do a little bit. You know, just
absolutely.
Do a little bit to address some of the needs that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for, again, what time are you all open?
Well, we are open from 9 o'clock till 9 o'clock, but different services during different times. You can come in during any of that time and get information. But from 9 till 5 is all of the social service programs, and from 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock are all of the youth programs.
10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yes.
Are the youth programs.
Yes.
And any age limits, any age requirements, anything like that?
You know, we set programs up for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I have run into young people who are 23.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, and we all know, at 23 we ain't there yet. You know, and especially if you have not had the guidance that you need. So sometimes a 23-year-old will show up and you say, well, what can we do for them? Well, there's a lot to do. What we did is we registered him in college.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a full-time Florissant Valley student. So
you know,
we don't get
you know, one of the things I'm going to get you all, too, we're going to get you some voter registration cards, too. So that you can start registering young people to vote, because that's all part of the process.
That is definitely part of the process. One of my former coworkers, Tom Smith, did a whole lot on that line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went as when they turned 18, made
mm-hmm.
sure he just went and took every child down mm-hmm. to get registered. So, but absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Ken Dotson, I want to thank you so much for joining me this hour and talking about the wonderful opportunity and a wonderful reason to go out and take advantage of this carnival that's happening this weekend. What? Tell us again, one more time.
It is a carnival at Washington University, the 13 Carnival, and it's going to be from 11 o'clock to 7 o'clock Saturday and Sunday.
And they're partnering with you this year.
Partnering with the George Washington Carver House, absolutely.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Next, of course, Wellness 101, Dr. Rosa Kincaid. You don't want to miss that. You want to stay well, don't you? I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The governor of Virginia wants to begin the healing process after this week's Virginia Tech massacre. But first, Tim Kaine wants you to remember the victims one more time. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The governor has declared an official day of mourning here in Virginia, and he has asked communities across the country to participate with the ringing of bells and the wearing of hokey orange and maroon. Some more of those injured in the shootings are expected to be released from the hospital, and Monday, classes are scheduled to resume. Many students, though, may decide to just call it a year. The university has said it's okay to take the grades they have now and make them count for the semester. Aaron Katursky, ABC News at Virginia Tech.
The shootings triggered a series of copycat threats nationwide, including one that closed an entire school district in New Jersey. It's also the anniversary of a high school tragedy.
There is another school closed this morning, this one in remembrance. Columbine High School will be closed, as it has been every April 20th since the shootings there 8 years ago today.
And ABC's David Muir in Blacksburg, Virginia. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the U.S. has lost the war in Iraq and that President Bush and Defense Secretary Gates know it.
I believe the war at this stage can only be won diplomatically, politically, and economically. And the president needs to come to that realization.
President Bush says Reid's comments prove Reid and many other Democrats no longer support the troops. The answer is, I don't know, or some variation of that. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard a lot of that from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez yesterday when they asked him about the firings of 8 federal prosecutors.
Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made. Senator, I have no recollection of knowing when that occurred. I don't recall remembering, Senator, I don't recall in connection with this review process.
Now more committee members, including some Republicans, say they're not sure Gonzalez is up to the job anymore. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 121 points in early going. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Check out the new trimmer.
Yeah, I have the same one, remember?
Ultralight, more power, beat that, buddy.
Jim, we bought them together at the Home Depot.
Mine's newer.
No, it's not.
You were in front of me in line. You've had yours longer.
Whatever.
Want the latest in portable power? The Home Depot has it. Like HomeLight's new Ultralight String Trimmer with improved power for only $64. Find the best brands, Echo, Cub Cadet, Ryobi, and more only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
ABC News is presenting an unprecedented global news event called Planet Earth 2007, Seven Ways to Help You Save the World. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey tells us about one of them that's as easy as using your cell phone.
That is a cell phone ringtone. It's the Mexican wolf. This is a ringtone, too. The Pine Barrens tree frog. These environmentally friendly ringtones are offered free by the New Mexico Center for Biological Diversity. The idea is, if your cell phone rings with the sound of, say, a polar bear, you might think more about threatened species and what becomes of them. With 4 or 5 Americans owning a cell phone, the reach is enormous, whether it's the blue-throated macaw or the haunting ringtone cry of the gray hawk. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Did you drink a little too much when you were in college? And a small study says people who hit the bottle big time while they were in school have an increased risk for heart disease. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, an SIUE fraternity president was arrested for sending a threatening message on the Internet. Just days after the Virginia Tech shootings, 21-year-old Andrew Stone of Rochester, Illinois, allegedly threatened another massacre on the social networking site Facebook. Within minutes of the posting, police got a tip and arrested Stone at an Edwardsville restaurant where he works. He was charged with a misdemeanor because investigators could not find any evidence that Stone could carry out his threat. Stone could potentially be expelled under the student conduct code. Belleville police arrested a 16-year-old girl yesterday morning for robbing the Regions Bank on West Main Street. Police say the girl walked into the bank that morning and gave a note to the teller indicating she had a weapon. The girl left with an undetermined amount of money, but she was caught minutes later about a block away from the bank. The girl may be charged later today. Finally this hour, a post office scare in Wright City turned out to be a noisy telephone. Authorities evacuated the building yesterday morning after workers found a ticking package. Police and members of the bomb squad were called, but the package only contained a Winnie the Pooh telephone. The phone had a feature that caused Winnie's head to spin when the phone rings, and it had been activated during shipping. Winnie's head kept hitting the side of the package, causing the suspicious ticking sound. Authorities were reportedly relieved and amused when they opened the package. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and 94. Look for road construction. The right lane is closed. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Oakland. Look for road construction reduced to 2 lanes at this hour. Eastbound 40 between Oakland and Hampton. Look for roadway reduced to 2 lanes as well as they're getting ready for the Tam Avenue Bridge demolition this evening. Westbound Ladue between Mason and 141. Look for a closed due to road construction. Only eastbound traffic is getting through. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well. Northbound 44 at 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 70, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79, look for no delays. And then again from east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road, everything is on the move. And eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge into the valley, look for no delays. That has been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 70. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Wellness 101 with Dr. Rosa Kincaid and Liz Brown. It's on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station where the issues matter most.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, and because it's Friday and because it's 9 o'clock, it is time for Wellness 101, and I am here in the studio with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. Dr. Kincaid, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing just outstanding.
Very good. And I just want to thank you for the show that we did last week. I got a number of different emails from women and some men as well that were very appreciative of the information that we put out last week.
Oh, yeah. It was a very, very stimulating show. I really enjoyed it. And we're going to have Dr. Huffnagel back again.
Very good. So what do we have today? What are we going to be doing today? We're going to, I think we're going to be talking about some stuff that people may not have any idea about. What is this?
Well, we're going to be talking about the mind-body connection. We're going to be talking to Norma Harnack. And it's a part of medicine that people really don't know enough about. Like, what is the connection between the mind and the body in terms of healing and wellness? She does a procedure called Touch for Health, and she's been doing it for many years. She has her own center called MECCA, the Massage and Energy Connection College of Application, and she's also going to be talking about something called kinesiology.
Very good. And Nurse Norma Harnack is joining us this morning on the phone. And Norma, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And you're here also with Dr. Rosa Kincaid.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I guess, Norma, I'd like to start with, what is kinesiology? What is that?
Well, if you look in the dictionary, kinesiology is going to tell you that it is the study of movement, the six of specifically muscular movement. And in the field of kinesiology, there are various ways to look at how that movement is used. If we're talking physical therapy, they're going to look at the movement and see if it is correct, if you have strength in that movement. And if not, then the therapist is going to tell you to do specific exercises or report to the doctor their findings. And the type of kinesiology that I practice, which is called applied kinesiology, I'm going to look at the movement, I'm going to test the muscle for strength, and then if the movement does not satisfy you, the person being tested, or if there's pain involved, or if there's not enough strength there, then we are going to apply a technique that will alleviate, hopefully, the fact that you're dissatisfied with the movement and provide strength, more movement, or more accessibility to your energy.
Well, Western medicine, does it include something like this? When does Western medicine utilize something like kinesiology?
Not in the form of applied kinesiology, not to my knowledge. In Western medicine, we do not address energy as being a source. We just address it that you either have it or you don't. And I think when you look in more Eastern disciplines, such as acupuncture, they're looking to commit energy as coming from a source, and as you source it, that you are aware of it and how you utilize it. In applied kinesiology, we use those same principles from acupuncture, that energy is coming from a source and that you are constantly using that energy in your body, and how you use it is affects you, and whether or not you have enough of it affects you.
Now, is the kinesiology the same thing as Touch for Health?
Kinesiology is used in Touch for Health, and Touch for Health is a compilation of several disciplines. Applied kinesiology being probably the main one, in as much as the premise is we're going to look at various muscles, we're going to test them for their strength, and then if we're not satisfied with the result, we are going to apply a technique. But the other techniques that are used come from acupuncture. We do not use any acupuncture, just the laws from acupuncture, and we apply a massaging type pressure to various trigger points to do a correction. We also use nutrition. We also use the idea from, again, from traditional Chinese medicine or acupuncture, that your thoughts can also mediate how you feel.
Well, how do I, as the person walking around here in the street, how would I know, or why would I think that I would need something like this? What's happening in my body that would make me want to, or make me know that I need to do something like this?
Well, one of the things that it is most helpful for, most of us, we discover we just don't feel quite right. You know, we can't really go to the doctor and say this is what's wrong, because we can't really identify those vague feelings. But those vague sensations often lead to something else if we ignore them. So if we had a system by which we could dispel those vague sensations and improve or bring up our energy, then we would not be headed down the road toward those sensations eventually developing into some sort of symptom or disease.
Well, okay, suppose I don't have any of those vague feelings. Suppose I don't have something's not right. I think everything is okay. Is there a reason for me to come to you if I'm feeling okay?
Oh, my goodness. You should come and learn how to do this for yourself so that every day you feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
talk to us about, there are five Chinese element metaphors. Is that part of the process of learning this touch for health and taking part in this kinesiology?
Yes. Again, it is just part of it. However, I think you're speaking of what's called the law of five elements, mm-hmm. which is from traditional Chinese medicine. And in those five elements, with the Chinese, with the Asian concept is that those elements are present in everything we do. And they're present in every body. And they are influenced by the external environment as well as the internal environment. You might look at it that the law of five elements is representative of an atom or a cell in the body. Each single cell in the body has everything it needs to survive, to reproduce itself, to feed itself, to determine what it's supposed to do. The five elements govern that. And the elements are merely metaphors for actual physical things that occur in the environment and in our physical environment.
So when people decide to do this, take us through what happens to them when they walk through the door.
Well, if you're going to someone who does touch for health, and they are going to do this with you, okay, then the person would go there, and the practitioner, the therapist, would take an assessment. And that assessment would start with simply, how do you feel? And then they would probably probe a little deeper, because most of us answer the question of how we feel with, oh, I'm fine, or I'm good, or, you know, something very commonplace. But really, how do you feel? How is your relationship with your family? How's your relationship with your job? Are you having a good time in life? Do you have any aches and pains? And you would answer those questions, and also the therapist would be looking at your posture. Are you standing upright? Are you standing so that one part is not in alignment with the next part? Are you unable to stand? Some people can't stand for long periods of time. Or are you stooped over? When they have completed that assessment, then they would test specific muscles that are shown to be representative of the various meridians or energy lines in the body. And as they test those muscles, they could either correct them if they weren't, if they didn't have enough energy to satisfy you, or they could just list them, and then you and the therapist could talk about what you want to do with that information. How would you want to improve that? And then they would apply one or more of the techniques from Touch for Health in order to improve that.
And is this something that you have to do every week, every month? Is this one shot? How does that work?
Well, you don't have to do it every week or every month. I would certainly recommend it at least every week, but then you would probably be doing it on yourself and not paying someone every week to do it. However, as an assessment of how I am traveling through life and how my physicalness is traveling through life, it can be done on a weekly basis to yourself.
How do you do it to yourself?
So you might look at, how am I feeling nutritionally? Am I getting enough of the proper nutrients? Am I able to sleep well at night? Am I getting up in the morning and just feeling like, wow, I just really want to greet the day? Or am I reluctant to get up out of bed? Am I getting quality sleep at night? Am I able to walk a minimum distance without tiring, without anything aching, or without having any disruption? How are my bathroom habits? Am I able to eliminate well? all of those things you should look at yourself. And then if you feel like you need a little boost, there are things from this system that you could do. You could rub, or you could trace your own energy meridians and bring up your energy level to your own satisfaction.
So does it involve like you would massage certain meridian points, or you would apply pressure to certain points?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I've heard people say that there are places that you can touch on your hand if you have a headache, that if you apply pressure to those places between your thumb and your forefinger, that there's that's the pressure points. Is that something like some of the things that you do with this process?
That's one of the things you might learn if you take a class,
mm-hmm.
that there are specific points on the body that will alleviate specific symptoms. Acupuncture and those laws do not intend to cure, but to put the body in harmony so that it can cure itself. So those specific points for a specific type of headache would be very useful, but there are also points on the side of the thigh that are useful for a headache, depending on where the headache is arising from.
And could you make that point again, that it's not intended to cure?
It is not intended to cure. It is intended to put the body in a balanced state that would allow the body to do what it does naturally, which is to heal itself.
So what is this called, like, mind-body medicine? And why is it mind-body medicine?
I think people would refer to it as mind-body medicine because one of the things, and probably the thing that I like the most about it, is you get immediate results. If you have an area that's bothering you and the therapist or yourself rubs the specific points involved to relieve that area, then you get relief right away. You don't have to take a pill and wait for that to happen. So when you look at, well, now how could that be? That's because our mind is much faster than any medicine that we know. And our mind is telling the body, oh, that's okay, that part that you just rubbed, that's okay now. It's like, it's like thinking thoughts that make us happy and thinking thoughts that make us sad. When we are depressed, one of the most difficult things to do is to become happy just by thinking one thing, because the depressive thoughts are much bigger. They're heavier. They're the elephant in the room. And so we have to reduce the elephant in the room. But when we do that, when something else comes along that makes us happy and excited, the elephant immediately is gone. Now, how long that lasts, of course, is up to us. How long we can keep those happy thoughts flowing in that keep our energy upright versus the heavier thoughts that often occur with things like depression.
So I walk in and I tell you that I want you to teach me, or I want to go through this, because there's the teaching of you, of an individual, and learning how to do it for themselves, and then there is the me coming in to you and you helping me, right?
Correct.
So what would something like that cost? What would the cost be of me coming in and I said, Norma, I'm not feeling right. I have these vague syndromes. My finger hurts and my toe hurts, but I'm not going to go into my doctor because he's not going to be able to do, or she's not going to be able to do that. What does something like that cost for me walking into you and having you take a look at me and engage in this touch therapy, touch for health?
So if you are coming to me and your goal in coming to me is to alleviate these vague symptoms,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps pinpoint them,
mm-hmm.
because this is not a cure-all, and it's not, as I said, it's not intended to cure-all. And sometimes using it, you can actually figure out, oh, this is what it is, and I might refer you back to the doctor. Go back to the doctor and tell them this is what's bothering you,
mm-hmm.
so that you can get whatever conventional medicine has to offer for that. Or you can discover, my goodness, that was nothing. Once I worked out a few kinks, the whole thing is gone. I charge to see someone for the very first time, I charge $90 because it's a very thorough assessment, and the time involved, person for the first time, they usually spend a minimum of an hour and a half with me. And we go over everything that they want to go over and probably then some. And then if they need to come back, the price goes down because we don't have to repeat that type of assessment again.
And generally, what do people come to you with? Or does it just vary?
It does vary. I would say primarily muscle aches and pains.
Mm.
But it does vary, and posture does play a big part in it. When we have muscle aches and pains, or if we are depressed, we are going to distort our posture.
Mm.
And when we distort the posture, then the internal organs are not able to carry out their functions as well, because we're pushing, pressing, distorting the internal structure, so it's not able to do its job. So many times people come and they get what's called a touch for health balance.
Okay, and hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Norma Harnack. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid because this is Wellness 101, and we are talking about touch for health, kinesiology. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, hon, did you know that if a loan was paid off early, you could get money back for the credit insurance?
Yeah, I think I saw a legal notice on that.
Yeah, it's on car loans and boats, appliances, lots of things.
Hmm.
If you borrowed money and the loan was paid off early, you could get money from a court settlement. To learn how to ask for a payment, exclude yourself, object, or take other steps, call 1-800-9================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ 866-896-5685.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Wellness 101. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. And this hour, this show, this day, we are talking to Norma Harnack, RN, and we're talking about kinesiology. We're talking about Touch for Health. And Norma, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were talking about posture.
Okay, so the client comes in and they have vague aches and pains, or just not feeling quite right. And I am going to evaluate not only what they tell me, but their posture, and then we're going to test muscles and apply various corrections and various trigger points. And when we're done, I'm going to ask them to stand up and tell me how they feel afterward. Most people, I'd say 95% of the people get up and they tell me that they feel taller. They feel more open. They feel like something, like lighter, like something has been lifted. And that is just part of what can occur. So physically, they're reporting how they feel afterward, and internally what their body is saying, oh, wow, I have a little more space to breathe in here.
And Dr. Kincaid, you've done this.
Yes, I've done this. With Norma, there have been times when I didn't know that I needed a treatment. And she's just looked at me and said, you need a treatment. And what I feel afterwards is just almost indescribable. It's almost like a feeling
lighter,
almost like a feeling of a natural high, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
During the treatment, there are times when Norma will incorporate. She'll pick up a book. She'll go to a certain passage. There are times when she's picked up the Bible. There's times when she's picked up other books, and she'll start reading. She'll start reading the book to me because of something that she's detected during her evaluation. And on some level she's associating something emotional that she's detected, and I don't know how she's done that with whatever is happening physically, and it all works together on several different levels. So I don't know how you do that, Norma. Why don't you explain it? How do you detect how somebody is, what is somebody's experiencing emotionally through your physical examination? Or do you notice something? Do you look at the person's face, or is it something that you've tested in the muscles? How do you do that?
Well, I guess it's a combination of those things, and I feel myself. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I think I have a talent for doing it. On the other hand, I also, in testing the muscles, various muscles indicate various things. And in testing the muscles, I'm often able to discover that certain things will be more beneficial for the person than just literally following the rote routine of testing the muscles. So I guess it's a combination of using the person's body to discover what best will serve them and my own ability to intuit what is going on with the person. I don't want to make anyone think that I could actually teach them how to do that. I have been a nurse for over 30 years, and my background in nursing was in the operating room, so I've had a very unique look at the physical human body. But I'm also acutely aware that our thinking and how we feel about things has a huge impact on that physicalness.
And I want to go back to the posture piece, because posture is one of the things that I believe that people just don't pay any attention to at all. We hold ourselves any old kind of way, and there are some basic posture principles, aren't there?
Yes, there are. You know, when your mother was telling you stand up straight, she was telling you the truth. Because in those basic posture principles, you want to keep the spine in alignment. After all of your nerves, every single one of them, exit out through the spinal column. And any interruption in that pathway can cause a distortion someplace else in the physicalness. However, we do things to ourselves. One of my worst habits is sitting at the computer looking quite like a goose, because I've got my neck stuck out and my shoulders hunched up, and then I'm also sitting and slouching in the chair. And
you sit there for hours doing that.
Right, right. And then I stand up.
And you wonder what's wrong.
And I feel like I feel like a frog, literally. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, my husband also does this work, and I can grab him and say, hey, how about giving me a balance? I've discovered I have computer posture here. And relieve those symptoms immediately for myself. But there are many of us who, like you say, do not pay any attention to how we carry ourselves. And then we don't do anything about it. And then we're frozen in that posture. Probably one of the most prominent postures, of course today there is the computer posture, but the other thing is carrying your kid on your hip. I mean, what mother doesn't put the kid on their hip, and it's always going to be on a specific side that they're more comfortable with, and then they're going to jut their hip out so the kid can rest on that hip bone. And how long are you going to do that? How many hours a day is the mother involved in doing that? And then pretty soon, you're stuck in that position.
Oh, I've got a better one for you. I got a better one for you. There's got to be this new thing called the purse posture.
Oh, my.
Okay, carrying purses like Dr. Kincaid that have 500 pounds worth of stuff in them on your shoulder, and then you wonder why your neck hurts, and you wonder why your back. Isn't there that thing, that purse posture?
There is the purse
posture. And the heel posture, and the stiletto posture with the shoes that we're wearing.
Oh, we love our high heel shoes.
Because we look good.
And recently, people have come up with putting various types of insoles in the shoes, etc. However, if you notice, God did not invent high heel shoes. And the posture was not intended to be thrown forward onto the toes. And if we stay in our high heels long enough, then we're walking literally on our toes, even when we don't have them on. And when we don't have that heel to toe action when we walk, it corrupts the muscles in the back of the leg, eventually shortening them and eventually shortening the thigh muscles. And there you go, just a whole cascade of things.
And so doing this helps not only address the posture that is thrown out and address the alignment that's thrown out, but it reminds us of I'm supposed to be keeping myself in alignment.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
And I guess we here in this country are so disconnected from how our body works, the connections in our bodies, and on top of that, we are connected to if my body feels bad, then go to my doctor and get a pill for that.
Well, I think your best physicians are going to tell you that we don't have a pill for everything. Matter of fact, we have very few pills for everything. And that your health depends on what you do to take care of yourself, what you do to ensure your own health. Also, you're right. People do not know about their bodies. One of the other things that I really like about teaching Touch for Health is the person is going to learn about their physicalness and the physiology of their physicalness in a way that they can understand. I've had 6- and 7-year-olds take this course, and they come away literally much smarter than their parents. And we have a very poor response to science, and especially the physical sciences, here in the United States. In the state of Missouri, less than 2% of our children go on into higher level science in high school or college.
Mm. Wait a minute. You're teaching 7-year-olds?
Yeah. They love it. To them, it's natural.
Well, I guess it is because they just got here.
Right.
So, you know, so it is. It is natural because they are more in touch with their bodies than we are, because you get more disconnected as you get older.
We also put our faith in things.
Yes.
Versus who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those things fail us, which eventually they do, we are lost. We're like searching for, well, where did that go? And rather than search inward as to, well, what can I do to replace that thing, we're searching for the new hot thing to replace that sensation or that feeling or that high. The best high you're ever going to get is that which comes from within.
Mm. Norma, can you talk about how nutrition ties into Touch for Health and kinesiology?
Well, one of the things that is very unique to applied kinesiology.
Let me get to a caller, and then we're going to take a break. But hold that thought, Norma, please.
Okay.
Jackson, you have a question for my guest?
I just want to ask, is there anything you can do for your hands? My hands, I stay awake all night with my hands.
Pain in your hands?
Just my fingers. Yes, ma'am. So.
You stay awake all night with pain in your fingers.
Yes, ma'am, in my hand. It's so bad, the feeling's just about gone out of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Norma, what would you recommend to her?
Well, first of all, with Touch for Health, we do not diagnose anything. That's mm-hmm. not the intention. And I would first recommend to her that she see her physician.
And especially check for diabetes if she's not having any feeling in her head.
Right, right. And how is she? She said she's not sleeping at night. Mm-hmm. Well, right there, that is disruptive to the whole physical being. Sleep is our greatest restorative power. So if you're not sleeping well, you're going to increase any kind of symptoms that you have. And how are you sleeping? Is she sleeping in a bed that supports her? Is she sleeping with a pillow under her head so that you have the natural curvature of the spine supported? Those are things I would ask her about. But first, I would recommend that she take that complaint to her physician or primary care person.
And again, if you don't have feelings in your fingers, you need to be talking to your doctor about at least checking for diabetes.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. This is Wellness 101. Our guest this hour is Norma Harnack, RN. We're talking about Touch for Health, kinesiology. Stay with us. We'll be back. You know the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Join the town and country melting pot on Monday, April 23rd for its fifth annual Autism Speaks benefit dinner and raffle. Proceeds will benefit autism research and raise awareness of the disorder that affects 1 in 150 children. The cost for the four-course fondue dinner and raffle is $60 per person with a cash bar available. Reservations are required and can be made by calling the Melting Pot at 636-207-6358. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Wellness 101. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid, and our guest this hour is Norma Harnack. And we're talking about kinesiology, and we're also talking about touch for health. And Norma, Dr. Kincaid had asked a question about food and diet in the process.
Well, first of all, I want to go back to the caller, if that's mm-hmm. okay.
Oh, sure.
Because I don't want the caller to think that we couldn't help her in any way. I am aware that people do not understand their physicalness, and therefore they go to their doctor, and they're not able to really explain what's wrong with them or what they think is wrong with them. And I am happy to see people to help them make that assessment and be able to go to the doctor and give more of a physical evaluation to their doctor so that they can get the help that they need. As far as nutrition, in Touch for Health, one of the things we do is we use, because the response from the muscles is immediate, and if you have a strong muscle, just say your forearm muscle, and we touch it and you're able to sustain the strength in it, we could take a specific food and put it in your mouth and then test that muscle again. If the muscle is undisturbed, you're still able to keep that strength, then you might say that that food has a positive effect, or it certainly has, it does not have a negative effect on you. But if you put the food in your mouth and that same muscle that a moment ago was strong then is weakened, you might think, well, perhaps this food that I'm putting in my mouth does not agree with me. It is not supporting my strength. And in that way, you could evaluate whether or not the food you're eating is supporting your strength. Also, in the Touch for Health classes, we're very specific about there are various foods that support various systems, and you would learn about those foods in the class and how you would be able to utilize them to support your physicalness.
And does time of day factor into this as well?
Well, the time of day factor comes from traditional Chinese medicine. When you are looking at the time of day that various organs are doing their work. And, for instance, heart time is in the peak of the day. And at noon, your heart is really working. It's just everything is in front of you. You're excited or not. And your heart is at its height. However, at midnight, you're not having to have that kind of energy, that kind of throw yourself into everything energy, so the heart's just quietly beating along while you're sleeping. So your heart rate should be a little bit lower at night while you're sleeping than at noon when you're awake and involved in things. Does that make sense?
So if you're out doing something that requires a lot of physical energy at 12 p.m. at nighttime, are you doing damage to your heart? Or if you do?
No, it doesn't mean that you're doing damage to your heart. However, if you're taking things out of harmony, in other words, it is normal for us to be awakened in the morning and then working during the afternoon and then sleeping at night. If we constantly disrupt that cycle, then it's going to show up in our physicalness. There's no way that it can't. When you look at people who do shift work, they often have vague complaints, aches and pains, because that disrupts the natural rhythm.
And Dr. Kincaid and I were talking off the air. How does what you do differ from a chiropractor?
Well, a chiropractor actually manipulates the spine and the bony structure as well as the soft tissue. This, I'm not going to manipulate any spinal processes, and we're only going to massage on the soft tissue. Sometimes we don't even, massage is indicative of some sort of movement on the soft tissue. Sometimes we only need to touch various points in order to make corrections. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need the chiropractor or you don't need the physician, because what we're looking at is how can we best fit the body in its optimum position? How can we best get it to where it can begin to work on itself? Sometimes it needs more than that. And a good practitioner would know, well, it's better if you go see your physician, or it's better if you go see your chiropractor.
And you have a seminar coming up.
Yes.
When
yes.
is that, and how can people find out more about it?
Well, we're having one this weekend, this today and tomorrow, and then we will repeat that one again in May, May 18th and 19th.
And what's the phone number where people can call to get in touch with you or to join up with the seminar today or join up with the seminar in May?
They can call my office at 647-0115.
That's one more time, please.
647-0115. They can also call Dr. Kincaid's office, because we are holding the seminar in Dr. Kincaid's office, which is 644-0000.
And the number one more time, please.
For Dr. Kincaid's, 644-0000.
Norma Harnack, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for your interest. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Norma. And I'll be to class right
okay.
after the show.
Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.
And Dr. Kincaid, that brings to the end another show. Tell us what some things that we have to look forward to. Well, next week is cooking.
Well, next week we're cooking, and we're going to try to hook up those potato chips for you,
yay,
Liz.
We're
going to try.
We're going to do some potato chips, some raw chips.
Yes, that's right.
And
living chips.
You know what kind of dip I want with them, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And you can eat all you want, and you don't have to worry about going to the hips.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, your body is saying, thank you.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you for being so thoughtful.
That's
Dr. Kincaid, I will see you same time, same place next week.
Okay.
All
bye
right.
Bye.
And thanks to all the listeners out there. Thank you for listening, and you know the drill. I'll see you at the carnival, and stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.